much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And we're back. We are now ready to heighten our foreplay to petting. The male may fondle her back and arms. The female, if she is so inclined, may latch on to his honker.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Like my neighbors in L.A. My neighbors in L.A. have got this smoking hot 18-year-old daughter. I mean, she's perfect. But she just got a tattoo of a butterfly over her chest, which is horrible. I mean, doesn't she understand how dumb that's going to look someday? All stretched out over my lamp?
And now.
What's good?
Nothing's good.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:36. It's Thursday, the 22nd of October. What's happening?
Just can't get over that Jeselnik special.
Yeah.
It may be one of my favorite comedy specials I think I've ever seen.
Okay. It's on. Okay. I liked it a lot.
I just thought it was great.
Yeah. All right.
Chip, you watched it last night. What'd you think?
I thought it was awesome. Jeselnik is a genius.
Yeah. He's certainly, I mean, look, he's certainly doing jokes no one else is doing.
Oh, there's no question about that.
I mean, his style is so different from everybody else. I just think he's... I think he's terrific.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's Thursday morning, so Allie's in Las Vegas. Is that our guess?
Yes, that's
probably in Vegas.
Yes,
that's code for sick, right?
With yeah.
Email sick.
It's not really code as much as you believe it.
Well,
when anyone calls in sick, Bean just goes have fun in Vegas.
Yeah, who's too sick to come to work? Come on, that's clearly. I mean, that's a made up thing, right?
Oh, that's such a big liar.
That's I'm in Las Vegas and didn't ask for the day off. Just worked out that way. You know how that happens sometimes. You go home and you just plan on having a nice quiet evening in, and the next thing you know, you're in Las Vegas.
That's alleged.
All right. Well, I hope she feels better or wins money, depending on what's going on. Here's a story that I found interesting. There aren't a lot of details, as usual. That's my biggest complaint about almost everything on the news today. Her name is Carrie Pernula, P-E-R-N-U-L-A. She lives in Champlin, Minnesota. She was arrested this week. She's 38 years old. And she apparently was having some problems in her mind with the neighborhood children being too noisy and leaving stuff in her yard and on her porch. And I guess that got annoying. I guess that's understandable,
leaving
right?
Leaving stuff on her porch. Why
on her porch, yeah.
That's weird.
They're kids and they're playing and they're running around and who knows. Maybe kids don't have the sharpest definition in their mind of what land is theirs and what isn't. So they just leave their toys around or whatever, like the kids do. I'd like to know more about the backstory of this woman and what she's like and what her relationship is like with the family next door, because there's no indication in this article that she ever spoke with them about it or, you know, went over to the parents, knocked on the door and said, hey, is there any way you could, wrangle your little rugrats or something like that? What she did instead was she sent them a note in the mail that said, the children look delicious. May I have a taste?
What?
So she's been arrested, and the city attorney is looking at the case and has not filed charges yet, but she may face charges of gross misdemeanor, terroristic threats, and stalking. Does that seem extreme to you? And if so, what is the proper charge? How realistic a threat is the children look delicious?
Yeah, I don't. The problem is,
I mean, no one enjoys that. You don't want to get that note in the mail about your kids.
Right, but the problem is you don't want to ignore that and then have something terrible happen.
Right, of course not.
So yeah. Out of fear, you pretty much handle it the strongest way you can.
I mean, I think it definitely needs to be dealt with, but I have so many questions about what this woman's deal is.
Have you seen pictures of the children? Do they look tasty?
I haven't.
Okay.
They usually are because when they're elementary school age, when they're that young, they're still fairly fairly moist. They haven't started to get all muscular and dried out. So
never
that's
say,
how I
never
prefer
say them. That again.
Who's hungry?
the family posted about the letter to a neighborhood group. Again, this is in Champlin, Minnesota, on Facebook, and wrote, "To the individual who sent this letter, the answer is no. No, you may not have my children in any way, shape, or form, and beyond anything physical, you may not rob them of the security and comfort they feel. They trust the trust they have in other people, the joy that they experience on a daily basis because of who they are. You do not have the right to steal this from them by sending an anonymous letter trying to rip their world apart. I will not let that happen. What you may do, since you were so formal in your letter to ask, is you may turn yourself into the police, and you may seek help for your sexual and or homicidal urges. Either way, the children of this community are off limits." So it doesn't say how it was discovered that the next door neighbor was the one who sent the note, because it was anonymous. But as I said, she has been arrested. And in one final note, and this is right out of the Kevin playbook, the woman also started sending the family magazine subscriptions, but instead of a name on the address label, it said Tasty Children.
Wow. So this wasn't just a one-time thing.
So she was into that. That was her strategy. Was
what
I'm going to threaten you eat your kids because they left their baseball glove on my porch. So when Ms. Prunula was confronted by investigators, she admitted to making the threats because the kids were always putting stuff on her porch. So anyway, I don't know if charges will be brought or if this is the type of thing where they'll just have a sit down and they'll chat with her and work it all out. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I'll keep my eyes open.
I feel like the magazine thing is something that a lot of people would do, mm-hmm. but the Tasty Children thing. Even on the magazine, like, yeah. that's a lot of forethought. That's, wow.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I think maybe it got the desired reaction. I don't know, but it's probably not the best way to go about
that it. That isn't good for you.
I agree, Muggs.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show.
This is a very important moment. Don't waste it being human. Your answer will define your future. Think like a champion.
David Spade's on the program today. His book is called Almost Interesting, and he's got a lot of fascinating stories.
By the way, it is Almost Interesting.
Yep.
It is accurately named.
Also, Dr. Drew's on the show today talking about Lamar Odom. We have your parents messed up and got all up in your business and your social media. Maybe they're on your Instagram. Maybe they're on Twitter.
You don't want your parents on your Instagram.
Even Facebook. They want to be your friend. You go, no, that is not good. So we'll talk about that today. We also have a Donald Trump update. He continues to entertain. We have tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, which we're going to give away at 6, so just after the top of the hour this morning. Give you a chance to win those. And Nathan Fielder will be in studio talking about one of the most awkward TV shows ever, which is Nathan For You. It's awesome, and we're going to talk to him about it coming up this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
You guys like the scary movies?
I do.
Well, this is the time. There's a great one, looks like, opened up tomorrow, The Last Witch Hunter with Vin Diesel in theaters everywhere tomorrow, which looks tremendous, getting great reviews already. And it got us to thinking about Halloween movies and scary movies in general. And if you are a fan of that genre, have we got an event for you, and have we got a game for you? You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are lining up contestants to win your way into the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. It's going to be coming up on October 30th, which is next Friday, by the way, at the El Rey with Cage the Elephant, Peking Duck, DJ Jeremiah Red, and you, if you win your way in. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win these tickets coming up just after 6. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Oh, love springs eternal. What brings a couple together more than... And an overdose of hookers and blow. Nothing. That's the answer you're looking for.
Nothing.
Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom have decided to give their marriage another chance. Well, why wouldn't she? Given his wise life choices and his indication that he's every bit as responsible as Scott Disick. TMZ is reporting
I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if I was on. This has to be the first time that a four-day bender at a brothel has gotten a man back together with his wife, doesn't it?
That is the magic of the Kardashian clan. There's two choices to make, you can guarantee they'll pick the crappier of the two. Apparently, Khloe Kardashian has instructed her legal team to withdraw the divorce papers that she filed, by the way, in December of 2013.
Which hadn't been finalized yet?
Nope. So now she is going to be by his side.
So, guys, if you're having problems, I mean, I think that...
Here's how you fix your relationship.
Right.
Go to the Love Ranch or the Bunny Ranch, any of Dennis Hoff's high-quality properties, and get yourself a few 8-balls and some herbal Viagra,
mm-hmm.
and then line yourself up with, Air Force Amy or any of the big names there. Just have yourself a party and wake up foaming at the mouth and be airlifted to a facility and go on dialysis and have to be taught how to hold a fork again.
All right, it's not so glamorous when you look at it that way.
Sounds good to me. It worked for them. Who? You don't know, man. Did you try it? No. Lamar Odom
did it,
and he got his wife back. That's science. That's in the lab. We have results. We've done the homework.
What about James Harden, who has been dating Khloe for months now and thought they had a thing?
Fool.
Losing his girlfriend to this situation.
Did he try cocaine and hookers?
Well, maybe he did.
Look, cocaine and hookers are the new candy and flowers when it comes to impressing a lady and wooing her and winning her heart.
But not just for a night. That was a 3-day, 4-day stretch.
Look, you have to commit. I'm not saying it's easy.
You have to be all in on that
one. You can't just make a superfluous gesture of romance. You need to commit to romance.
Come on, Kevin. Put in the work. Care about your marriage or not.
I'm telling you, I've said it before and I'm saying it again. If they didn't have money in a TV show, the Kardashians would be a trailer park family. Because that's what trailer park families do, right? People with brains and self-worth look at a person who ODs in that situation and say, oh, that's a tragedy. I feel so bad for that person. I'm glad I've extricated myself from that situation to make my life better for me and my family. You don't say, oh, look at that dumpster fire of a human being. I can't wait to crawl inside and warm myself. I'm bringing s'mores. Don't you say that?
Maybe she's still in love with him and feels like he will die without her help.
Where was she in love with him for the past 2 years after filing for divorce and leaving him? Where was the love then?
I think this is... I take your point, but I think that this is a complicated situation made much more so by his addiction and her frustration with trying to deal with his addiction.
Right.
I think that's why she got out.
So now that his addiction has reached the boiling point, the tipping point, now's the time she decides to get back in. At the height of the dramatic
The Kardashians are
disaster,
consistent.
If nothing else.
It's going to make some very special episodes of that TV show, though, man.
Nothing else. Ratings are going to fly through the roof.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
You don't know, Dr. Phil. You weren't there.
Forbes magazine, which, as I've always said now, is just a series of lists.
Which makes it high on Bean's list.
Yes. Forbes magazine has released a list of highest-paid comedians. Highest-paid comedians.
All right.
Everybody all right?
Yep.
These are stand-up comedians, performers of the comedy.
All right.
Highest paid for the past year.
Can I guess?
I'd love you to guess, Kevin. That's why I show up in the morning.
Louis C.K.
Louis C. Mother Lovin' K., 7th on the list.
7th?
Made a paltry $9 million over the past year.
May I guess?
No. Yes, of course you can guess.
My guess is based on the fact that we know that he has played stadiums on his current tour, so I will say Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart's a great guess. What's your name? Bean?
Bean.
$28.5 million put Kevin Hart at 2nd place, number 2 on the list.
Can I guess?
Sure. Turd Ferguson did not make the cut. Amy Schumer! Not on the list.
Can I guess?
Yes, Dave, you can guess.
Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, good call.
Gabriel Iglesias is your guess. And if I can make out what you're saying, you're correct. 8th on the list, however, just 8th on the list. Fluffy made $8.5 million and put him at number 8.
I'll give you
one because you won't know him, but British comedian John Bishop is 9th on the list with $8 million.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Why does Fluffy come in and do our show if he's making $8 million a year? Why is that dude ever getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning?
One of the goodest people I've ever met in the comedy world.
He's a good people. That's true.
He's a good people. Yeah.
He's one of the goodest people, I'd say.
Ralph, in the interest of time.
The Armenian comedian.
Yes, number one on the list. Hard to believe he made $50 million last year.
What about the OG Seinfeld and Leno and those guys who are just out there probably getting paid a lot per gig?
You're just going to shoot a bunch of names out
just
there?
Just all former comedians.
Just shotgun something and hoping something lands on the list? Is that your new
plan? All
right,
I'll say Jerry Seinfeld, and then when that's not on the list, I'll say Jay Leno.
Jerry Seinfeld is number one on the list.
Whoa!
Oh, no kidding.
That is a surprise.
Oh, ye of little faith. $36 million. Is what he earned over the weekend. Now, you have to keep in mind, a lot of that comes from his syndication earnings from his TV series Seinfeld.
Oh,
but also from his live tours. He plays the high-end Vegas clubs and fills enormous arenas in Vegas.
And they charge a lot for those tickets.
And his web series Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee has been very lucrative for him as well.
Oh, interesting.
$36 million he earned. By the way, that's what he earned this year. It doesn't count the approximate $200 million he's got in the bank.
Yeah.
What's up with being rich? Where'd all this money come from? The rest of the list, third on the list, you're going to slap yourself on the forehead and say, what? America's Got Talent winners from season one, Terry Fader. The ventriloquist.
With his Las Vegas residency?
With his Las Vegas residency, earned $21.5 million, made him number three on the list.
Wait, we're going to hit our heads with...
There you go. See, I told you you'd do it.
I
shocking.
Have seen posters of him all over in Vegas. I mean,
he is a big draw.
Been there
in
for
Vegas.
A long time.
Been there a long time and a big draw.
Yeah.
How about that?
Speaking of ventriloquists, Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham
and his that hilariously racist skeleton Ahmed. Oh, what could be funnier in these politically charged times? He ties with Canadian Russell Peters. Each made $19 million. They're at number four and five. Parks and Recreation star Aziz Ansari.
Oh, sure.
Sixth on the list. And Dave Chappelle at number 10. Rounds out your top 10 of richest comedians.
Interesting list.
I thought so. Today's celebrity birthdays. We're running a little late. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family. Still one of the funniest damn shows on television,
agreed,
by the way. Great season so far this year. 40 years old today. Spike Jonze. The director is 46. Bob Odenkirk's 53. Jeff Goldblum is 63. And Christopher Lloyd. Oh, did he just miss by one day? could have had the most spectacular birthday of all times. He is 77 years old today. Did you catch Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox doing Marty and Doc on Jimmy Kimmel last night?
I did not.
Find it online.
All right.
Brilliantly funny sketch. Both of those guys acquitted themselves marvelously. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:10.
Hey, Count Dracula.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. It's great to see you. It's the Halloween season. Must be a very busy time for you.
It is. I have to go around turning into a bat and flying into someone's bedroom, finding a deliciously pale young woman with her neck exposed, and then I drink.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to stop by because you're going to help us give away some tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, which is going to be 1 week from tomorrow night. It's at the El Rey Theater. Cage the Elephant is performing, Peking Duck, DJ Jeremiah Red. A lot of the K-Rock DJs are going to be there, and there's a costume contest worth $5,000 brought to us by our friends at The Last Witch Hunter, starring Vin Diesel, in theaters everywhere tomorrow. That's supposed to be a great Halloween movie, account.
Yes, it is. Vin Diesel. Blah. Scary Vin Diesel. I hate witches. Blah. I'm glad he's hunting them and killing those witches.
We have listeners on hold. You want to explain to them how the game is played?
Yes. Kevin and Bean will play for you a scene from a classic horror movie. All you need to do is identify what movie it is, and you will go into a drawing for tickets to the Brawl. K-Rock Halloween Brawl. Blah. Blah.
All right. Blah. Chip, why don't you keep track of who qualifies, and then we'll do a drawing and see who wins. Who's our first contestant, Count?
We have Matthew from Los Angeles.
Oh, thanks,
or score, Kevin, whatever. Bean said count, but I didn't. Maybe you think you're the count of Encino, so you think you should just be talking. I'll be over here sitting quietly. No need to have this impression on the air.
That's my
blah. Bad. Blah, I say to you. Blah.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, you understand the game?
Yep, ready to go.
Here's your scene.
Scary night, isn't it? With the murders and all, it's like right out of a horror movie or something. Do you like scary movies?
Yeah, that's from Scream.
Blah! You're right, well done, it sir. Is Scream! I'm screaming in terror! Blah!
Hold on.
Matthew, you hold on. You are one step closer to win your way into the K-Rock Halloween costume ball. Who's up next, Count?
Next up is Johnny. He's from Riverside. Ooh, that's a scary place! Blah!
Hey, Johnny.
Good morning, fellas.
You ready for your scene? Here you go.
He supposedly drowned at Camp Crystal Lake back in 1957 when he was 11 years old.
His mother blamed the counselors for her son's death, and she tried to kill them all, but she got her head chopped off by one of them.
That's Friday the 13th.
You're right, it is. Oh, scary. Mothers are scary. My mother was.
These are classics, straight-up classics, Count. Who's contestant number three, please?
Alex from Duarte. He's a surgical technician. All that glorious blood he must see. I'm touching myself.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning.
Here's your movie scene. Tell us what it's from.
From the very beginning, it was the children who gave me my power. The Springwood Slasher. That's what they called me.
Who is that?
Oh, I can't think of it. I know the movie. I can't think of the name.
Come on, damn it, think.
It's where he puts the pig head on.
No. Don't think that. Think something else.
We were looking for Nightmare on Elm Street is
yes.
What we wanted from you, Alex.
That was yeah. Freddy. Ooh, Freddy scary. That hat.
Thank you for the
nice,
call.
Nice try, though, thanks. All right, another contestant.
Danny from Riverside. He's an electrician. Ah, shocking.
Hey, Danny.
File that.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for your clip?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Technically speaking, he's not really a murderer. He never killed anyone. He finds ways for his victims to kill themselves. He doesn't want us to cut through our chains.
No!
He wants us to cut through our feet.
Let the game begin.
Dude, that's still, like, the scariest movie of the last 20 years, isn't it? Eddie?
Saw? Yeah.
Saw's right.
Yes, Danny. Yeah. Well done, Saw. Saw. Okay. Saw.
So we got time for a couple more count?
Ronnie from Lake Forest.
Hey, hey, Ronnie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You ready for your clip?
Sure am. Let's do this.
Here you go.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah,
The Shining.
What's that? The Shining?
Yes, 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 Ronnie, yes.
Yeah.
Either that or The Tonight Show from the late 80s.
Sean
from Long Beach. We have time for one more.
One more.
Long Beach. Oh, scary. Queen Mary. Blah.
Hello?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Here's your clip. You tell us what movie this is from.
There was something in the house. Christy.
It's like connected.
A real life poltergeist.
Hey, Christy.
I saw you talking to somebody.
He's very sweet.
He's my friend.
I don't see him.
Staring right next to you.
Honey, he's not there.
Is that the activity? Oh, God, what is it?
Yes.
You're halfway there.
Yes, that's half of it.
Halfway.
But what kind of
paranormal
activity?
Paranormal activity.
Yes.
Yes, well Sean, I knew you were a smart kid.
All right, Sean is in the drawing, as is Ronnie and Danny and Johnny and Matthew. Count only dudes calling. Maybe you scared off all the ladies when you talked about biting their necks when
you're
you came
afraid of my enormous member.
only one listener right now will win tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball next Friday night at the El Rey. Chip, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Danny.
Ah, Danny!
Congratulations,
electrician.
Danny.
Nice. Thank you.
Electricians always want to get into their shorts.
What's that?
Yeah.
Comedian and actor David Spade on the program today. Also, Nathan Fielder will be joining us and Dr. Drew with his weekly Thursday visits. All coming up, K-Rock. First, though, how about you on the air with us with the Kevin Amin Afro Line? This is our voicemail. You can call anytime, day or night, at 323-520-AFRO and leave us a message like this one.
All right, this girl is calling in response to a bit that we did where we talked to Larry Flint, who is making fun of Hugh Hefner for not publishing nudes anymore in Playboy. And Larry Flint said he was going to go further and show internal organs of women. And so this girl called with this comedy.
You guys were talking to Larry Flint the other day, and I'm a podcast listener, and I was thinking that if they're going to show pictures of internal organs, does that mean that it will be X-rated? I get it, like X-ray, X-rated. Okay, yeah, I'm done.
How committed do you think she was to that line? Even as she was saying it, she knew it was hot garbage, right?
She knew, yeah. Fantasy Island, who was Tattoo on that original show?
That was Hervé Villegas.
And he was a small person.
Yes, he was.
Huh. Hey, I heard they're going to do a reboot of Fantasy Island with all women. I think we know who the new Tattoo is going to be. Chip, please have Chip say, the plane. Oh, man, it's going to be great.
Chip?
The plane. Yes, yes, and yes.
I'm only sad that the catchphrase for that show doesn't involve her having to roll an R.
We did a Periscope with Doto, and I think everybody loved that.
I know this phone call will never reach the air, but at least Omar will hear it. It is one thing for you to get on the radio and talk to Doto and laugh about how he wants Babe, but for you to put him on the internet and goat him into doing things for your own personal amusement is absolutely despicable and hateful. You should be ashamed of yourself and think about this before you do your next Periscope with him. I am so embarrassed that I had to listen to that. You should really think about what you just did to an individual on the internet.
On the internet.
Disgusting.
I think Doe's coming in when? Is it Monday or Tuesday he's coming back for another one?
I don't
know.
Next Wednesday.
All right. Wednesday. Okay. All right. We're on it. Thanks for the suggestion.
I think this is a first, though, in that Omar called the Afro Line back for a response.
Hey, this is Omar, and I'm calling about the previous caller, and I just want to say, sit down. Nobody called on you. Sit down. Go back to Univision.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure that's her. This is about the baseball playoffs.
Baseball and baseball fans can suck my foot.
Ooh. Is that a thing? No, suck my foot?
I hope not.
I feel like it's not. We did the Ralph was on vacation. We did the Wheel of Celebrity Voices, the janky edition, because we all do terrible voices. But this guy is demanding more of a certain one.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. When the Hulksters listen to the Wheel of Celebrity Voices, janky edition, I don't want to hear Ray Romano. I don't want to hear Kermit the Frog. There's only one guy I want to hear, and that's the guy that's doing the training in the vitamins, saying the prayers, and doing the racist accusations. And that's the Beaster, brother. He brings it home like nobody can, Daddy. And that's what I want to hear. I love his Mr. T-tinged Hulk Hogan voice. And what you gonna do with Bean and the Wheel of Celebrity janky voices runs wild on you?
Let's get that guy's phone number next time we do that bit. He's doing it.
What if one of our favorite singers, Wing, did one of our favorite bands, Muse?
Hey, this is Jerry. I was calling to do a singing rendition of Wing singing Madness from Muse. Yeah, here we go.
I can't get this memory out of my mind. Some kind of madness has started to evolve. I tried so hard to let you go. Some kind of madness is swallowing me.
I get more Bjork than I do Wing off of that
impression. Yeah, that's a little more Bjorky. That's
right?
True. Yeah.
Fire bear mug. He really is a dick.
All right, at least something we can all agree on.
Here's a song about my man Bean.
Bean is a creep outside my window. Bean is a creep outside my door.
Bean.
Oops.
Thanks.
I thought that went on a little longer. This guy's calling about a favorite topic of our listeners, which is Bean's wife.
Bean, your wife, bro. I'd hit that like a piñata. Am I right? Who's with me?
Okay, you may be right that you would. I don't need to hear about it, sir.
Bean, I want to tap your wife like a keg at a frat party. Kickstand.
Kickstand. That's enough.
Bean, but seriously, bro, your wife. I would wreck your wife like the Edmund Fitzgerald. I'd wreck it so hard that Gordon Lightfoot would write a song about it.
I would let you if he would write a song about it.
Well, at this point, just swear him in is what I say. Just make him the next president of the United States, because Donald Trump now has led in the national polls, Kevin, for 100 consecutive days. And we are coming up on about 100 days before the first vote that matters, the Iowa caucus. And he is way out in front, well north of 30% right now among the Republicans running for president.
He's done a couple of things that we want to get his take on. One is that he has told Joe Biden, you made the right decision to drop out and to not run because he wants to run against Hillary. And then he also canceled Jimmy Kimmel, which he was supposed to do in New York, I think, yesterday.
All right. Let's find out what's going on with Mr. Donald Trump, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Don, how are you?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you? You're welcome.
We're good. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. We know how busy you are right now. Everybody wants a piece of Donald Trump these days, so appreciate that you always make time for the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's true. Everybody wants a piece of me. Why? Because I'm a winner. And
you're
I'm going to change America. I'm going to make America great again.
Right.
Because that's what I do.
Right.
I make things great.
Right.
Look at my
right.
daughter.
Well, you did make a pretty good daughter. I got to give you credit
so
for that.
Hot. I would wreck her.
Right. Please don't. No, don't say that. What about what Kevin?
Because that's what people like about me. I say what's on my mind. I don't.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to be politically correct. Because people hate that. Let's face it. They hate nice.
Right. Look, you can say that your daughter is very pretty. You should never say that your daughter is very sexy.
But my daughter is very sexy.
Right, but that's icky.
But
you're her father, though. You can't say that. That's icky.
I can say it. Who knows better than me how sexy she is?
Well,
you have no idea how much I have to restrain myself at Thanksgiving dinner.
Let's
diving into her cranberry sauce.
All right, let's change
topics.
Okay, whatever that means to you. Let's get back to politics. What about what Kevin brought up, which is that you said Joe Biden made the right decision. You want Hillary, bring on Hillary. What do you mean?
Absolutely. He absolutely made the right choice because I would have killed him. I kill in all the polls. Look at all the polls. I'm killing in all the polls. And I would have killed Joe Biden because, let's face it, he's an idiot. And the man eats two ice cream cones at the same time for some reason.
I still don't
understand that picture. I don't know why. He was licking one ice cream, holding another one. It disturbed me. And I'm not easily disturbed. Look at me and my daughter.
Right. Okay. But he, if I can play devil's advocate here, he's got decades of experience as a senator and 8 years as vice president. You have zero experience running government.
But he's the vice president of an administration that is ruining the country. Look, we're in a mess. It's a mess.
Right.
And Joe Biden's hair is also a mess. What is that, doll hair?
What
does he have up there? What's going on with him? Is he bald? Is he growing hair? Is he not bald? I hate guys who have hair that you don't understand.
Yeah. why do you think Hillary Clinton will be so easy to beat, Mr. Trump?
Well, first of all, she is evil. There's that.
And evil.
People don't want an evil president.
Right.
If that was the case, they would have elected Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers movies. Right?
Okay. But he was a character in a movie. We couldn't have elected him for president even if we wanted to.
You know what? That's this kind of short-sighted thinking that has made this country awful. But I'm going to make it great again. When I'm president, you can vote for anyone. You can vote for Donald Duck. That'd be awesome. I'd love to hear that in the Oval Office.
Why don't you make Donald Duck your vice presidential running mate?
I might. I haven't decided yet who my vice president running mate's going to be.
All right.
But I'm leaning towards my daughter.
Okay, again.
I'd love to spend a lot of time with her in the Oval Office.
I think your daughter should get a restraining order against you, Mr. Trump.
Sit down. Sit down. I didn't call on you.
All right. Another story.
Go back to Univision.
Another story is you were supposed to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live. You canceled the night before. And the quote was that you had, quote, major political commitments.
I had a major political commitment.
That you weren't aware of?
That's what I do. I'm a candidate for president.
Right.
And I have a lot of majors asking me to do things involving politics, and I have to commit to that.
Right, but you didn't seem to have anything on the schedule that was public, that was known. There wasn't any obvious conflict. It almost seems like you just got scared and backed out.
That's not true. I'm not scared of anything. I'm not scared of, well, Jimmy Kimmel's beard does scare me a little
bit. Well, it should, a little bit.
Is a little frightening. He looks like a guy pushing a shopping cart. But other than that, I'm not afraid of him. I do all the big shows. I do Jimmy Fallon. I do...
Right.
What else have I done? Other things that also are also things.
Well, there's no question you have not been media shy. You certainly do seem to be on TV about 20 times a day.
Yes. And now I had a major political commitment.
Which was what? Because it was Tuesday night, so now you can tell us.
Because Tuesday night is my night where I also commit to doing political things with all the people that need all the politicking.
But specifically?
That a guy, Dave.
A guy,
you
Dave.
Canceled on a national television show to hang out with Dave?
Dave needed my help.
To do?
That political thing that involved several majors. He's a major in the Army.
I feel like you're lying to us, Donald Trump.
I don't have to lie because I don't know the difference anymore between lies and the truth.
That sounds about right.
All right, Donald, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
That was a long pause.
It was. That's my bad. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Nathan Fielder is coming up in the next hour about his TV show, Nathan for You.
I love that dude, and every time I watch a show, I think, man, must he get all the ladies, right?
Yes.
Hey, Ralph's here for the Showbiz Beat, but I also want to open up the phone lines real quick for you, for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is where you call and talk about any topic that's on your mind. If you've got questions or comments, you can call us now at 1-800-520-1067. Perhaps you have a reaction to the news this morning that apparently an announcement is coming later today that manager Don Mattingly and the Los Angeles Dodgers have parted ways. There are a lot of people who are wondering if he's going to lose his job after they flamed out in yet another postseason. It looks like that is the case, although the decision is being described as mutual. If you have a comment about that, you want to talk Dodgers?
Mutual.
What?
It's like the ones with divorces. We've decided to part amicably.
We're all happy here.
We love each other very much. No, it's just not working out, but we still love each other. We're going to raise the outfielders together.
That's right. So if you want to talk about that, yesterday we had some great calls on What's Good. Remember we had the guy who called in about the sea snakes? The venomous sea snakes?
Coming out from Mexico to kill us all.
They're in the ocean?
In the ocean.
In the ocean, yes. Nuts. 30 times more poisonous than a cobra, we were told yesterday. So anyway, any topic on your mind, or if you've got a question for the Kevin and Bean Show, call us now, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll ask you what's good. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's up?
I wish Allie was here, because you know how she loves Fozzie Bear.
She's sick today,
oh,
yes.
Oh, it's her favorite.
Yes.
She loves Fozzie Bear.
Right.
And they have a hot and heavy romance going.
Right.
And I'm just happy now there's a Muppet that Bean can love.
Oh, I don't know anything about this.
Sesame Street has announced they are adding the first Muppet with autism to the Muppet cast.
Ooh. I don't know why you think of me there.
Her name is Julia, and she loves maps, and the Edmund Fitzgerald, and lists, and Weather Channel, Denny's.
Perfect.
Yeah. Seriously, though, and I did not know this, and I feel kind of bad. But children with autism are 5 times more likely to get bullied in schools than any other kids.
You don't have to tell me.
Wow. I'll bet you got beat up a lot.
Did you get bullied in school that day?
I bet you did.
I don't have
any memory
of high school.
That's a giant yes.
So I don't know.
So
I don't think so. I think I was enormously popular and very, very good with ladies.
Yes, I'm sure you were. I think you're going to be the cool guy at 100. Ends of your life, you're going to be cool. When you're a child and when you're 100. In between, not so good.
Not so much.
And my memory, which again I admit is flawed, I was a student class president all 4 years.
Wow.
I think I was the quarterback for the football team
all
4 years, too, I think, if I remember correctly. So I had a lot of stuff going on in high school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dr. Janine Betancourt, who's connected with the Sesame Workshop and Sesame Street, says that their goal is to bring forth what all children share in common, not their differences, and by introducing a character with autism to the Sesame Street world, it'll help kids understand autism and prevent kids from being autistic kids from being harassed in schools, which I think is a nice
sounds cool.
It's a nice gesture, nice decision. So Let's save the mocking of the autistic until they get to be adults, right? Isn't that what we're saying here?
I'm not positive that's what we're saying.
We want to hold off?
I'm not sure.
They are doing a reboot of the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Fox. We talked about this a little bit. One of my favorite movies, by the way, Rocky Horror Picture Show. They're going to do a presentation of that musical on Fox, and they've just announced who is going to be the new Dr. Frankenfurter, the lead, played, of course, famously by Tim Curry, does that song Sweet Transvestite. You follow me?
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be...
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No. You want to take another guess?
Randy Newman, of all people.
Randy Newman, of all people, would not be a good choice. Laverne Cox from Orange is the New Black.
Wow.
Now, this might be a little confusing because Laverne Cox is a transsexual and the character of Frankenfurter is a transvestite.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they'll work it out somehow.
Change it up a little.
I think she's beautiful and talented, and I think it's an interesting casting choice. So Fox has announced she will be the new Dr. Frankenfurter.
What do you think the appetite is for the Rocky Horror Picture Show on TV, Ralph?
That's a good question.
I mean, I know it's been a cult movie for a long time, but it certainly doesn't... I don't feel like it has a huge, like, widespread groundswell of people who can't wait to see it remade.
No, it doesn't. I think it has a very niche audience. But I know the people behind it over at Fox are huge fans, and it is the anniversary of the movie, so I guess there's... I don't know.
Right, see how they do it.
Some interest?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you'd be hard-pressed to mount any musical on television that people really care about.
Right.
Even with the success of Sound of Music that they did on NBC, Peter Pan was sort of lackluster, and I know Grease is coming up on Fox as well. But
I miss Cop Rock. You guys remember Cop Rock?
We need to bring Cop Rock back. You're absolutely right.
It's a police show where they would break into song.
Break into song.
It was so good.
It was Cop, and then it was Rock. They had both of those things going on. More casting news. Vincent D'Onofrio has been added to the cast of The Wizard of Oz miniseries that's coming up on NBC called Emerald City. He's going to play the wizard. He's a good actor.
It's a good choice. Yeah.
Sure. And in sad TV news, if you, like I, was a fan of Mythbusters on the Discovery Network, it's coming to its end after its 14th season, which begins in January. Adam Savage, Jamie Hyneman, will say goodbye after the series this winter. I love that Mythbusters show.
Yeah,
it's very entertaining, and it taught you stuff about things.
I didn't learn anything, but I found it entertaining.
Story of your life,
isn't
it?
Thank you.
Maroon 5 is going to be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl.
No.
You didn't know that?
Is that
true? Announced a while ago, yeah.
I'm so disappointed.
Because you were expecting Weird Al.
Weird Al should do this.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah, Bean, let's give some love to Maroon 5, as Kevin always says.
Not just because Weird Al is the obvious better choice. It's just because Maroon 5 is just boring. Like, even if you hear their songs on the radio, they're fine. They're not exciting. There's nothing about them that compels you to have to see them live.
Look, Adam Levine, big star.
Sure. I know
he is. Thanks to The Voice.
But do you guys disagree? Like, would you be excited to see Maroon 5 perform live on your TV?
No.
I got to be honest with you. I don't really care about the halftime.
Yeah, I never watch
the Super
Bowl.
You do if it's a Beyonce or somebody like that you think might be a great show.
Am I excited about it, though? No, not really. I don't think they're looking for excited. I think they're looking for least polarizing. Who can they put in there that is
probably
the most homogenizing element that can reach all of the different audiences that are watching the Super Bowl at any given moment? You don't want anyone to tune off. So you're not going to put anybody with a strong
Foo Fighters, I would love,
that
I would look forward
to. Amazing. That would be an amazing halftime show.
But that's not happening.
But I think Weird Al and his accordion would really rock it in a stadium surrounded by dancers with glow sticks.
Agreed. Finally, we're on the same page. But Maroon 5, though, just boring as a concept.
Right. I don't know. I think Kevin wants us to give some love to Maroon 5.
Well,
let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Whatever Kevin says goes. You know me.
You think he'll ask me to introduce him?
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
It's pretty good. I do a good job at that, so.
Faroon Mive. Can't wait for Faroon Mive. Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Lloyd. Great Scott! He's 77 years old today. One of the greats. He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night with Michael J. Fox. They did a very funny Back to the Future bit. Jeff Goldblum, 63 years old today. Bob Odenkirk is 53. Spike Jones, 46 years old today. Very talented director. And Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, 40 years old today. Just watched the most recent episode last night. Boy, it's a funny show. Well done. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Nathan For You airs Thursday nights at 10 on Comedy Central. And the genius behind that program, Nathan Fielder, joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, time for Kevin Bean's What's Good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do it this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Frankly, we just got tired of people asking, hey, why aren't you guys talking about fill in the blanks? So we decided to build in a segment on days where we have time so you can fill in the blanks for us. And let's start with Rachel. She's calling us on line four from Los Angeles. She's in the Halloween spirit already. She's got something she wants to run by us. Hey, Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. What's good?
I am calling to find out if you guys have seen the movie called Eat.
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 Yeah.
I have not seen Eat.
It's about an anorexic actress who, when she gets stressed out, she eats parts of her own body.
It's
horrifying.
Okay. Is it?
So she starts.
Is it recent or is it old?
I think it's fairly new. It's on like Netflix or Amazon.
All right.
The things that kept your house. You know?
So the woman eats herself. That's what's happening in that.
It's terrifying. I couldn't sit through the first 10 minutes because it's so gory and so horrific. But there's. So, for instance, it starts out innocently enough, right? Like, she has a hangnail.
Right.
And then she leaves the stressful audition, and the hangnail has gotten infected. And so she's driving, and she's sucking her thumb.
Yeah.
What you do when you have a hangnail, an infected hangnail.
Right.
And she looks at it, and evidently it looks delicious. And she takes a bite.
That sounds terrible.
Like, man.
A bit of flesh comes from her.
Oh!
Her arm. It is... And there's blood everywhere. I had to tap out at that point.
I had to tap out.
I have to ask, and maybe you don't know this because you only saw 10 minutes, Rachel, but I would think as an anorexic, she wouldn't want to eat, you know, something that had so many calories in it as her own body. I feel like she'd be eating lettuce before she'd be eating her hands.
I don't know. I can get back to you. I'm so fascinated with it. Like, I have a goal to watch like 5 minutes of it every day up until
Halloween. Okay. It's quite a goal.
I think that's awesome. Thank you very much for the call, Rachel. We appreciate it. Let's go to Alex Rancho Cucamonga Line 2. He's also calling about a Halloween movie because, let's face it, tis the season. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the show. What's good?
Hey, what's good is Zombie Beavers. It's a movie on Netflix that just came out. I just saw it last night, and I added it to my to-watch list, and it's about beavers. Or zombie beavers that terrorize a group of young girls that are on a lake house.
And they're all super hot too. That helps.
You saw that one, right, Kevin?
Yes.
I remember I was on vacation when we had that director in, but I think you watched it, right?
Yeah, of course. Zombie beavers. Are you kidding? It was great.
And it was awesome.
Yes, it was great. Alex, I'll see your zombie beavers and raise you a black sheep. Have you seen Black Sheep?
No, I have not.
Well, you need to look that one up. That's a little bit older, but it's a sheep that is a zombie, and it goes around eating people. And then if you get bitten, you start turning into a sheep. It's weird, and it's dark.
You know what? That rekindled some kind of memory from when I was younger. I have seen that movie. They all get, like, trapped in a barn at one point.
Yep. And the sheep are busting through the door. It's pretty strong.
Yeah. See, we are lining up some awesome, you know, movies to watch with the last week before Halloween. All right, thank you very much for the call. Let's change topics. Let's go to Ralph in Los Angeles. He's up next on line five.
All right. Hey, Ralph, what's good?
Yo, have you heard about the Chinese freaking making genetically modified dogs to look all muscular?
To look all muscular?
Muscular, I think he's...
Oh, muscular, yeah.
More lean, yeah. They look more lean.
Why are they genetically modifying dogs?
I don't know.
Just so they look...
Yes, you do. Chinese. You do know why. The same reason they genetically modify cows and pigs is because they're trying to put more and tastier meat on the bones.
I didn't want to say it, but you know what? I want you to go ahead and say it for me.
Okay, all right.
Well, I mean, look. Lots of people in China eat dogs. That's what they do.
I know. Didn't they, during the Olympics in Beijing, they were asking people to, like, stop serving... Gracias! Serving...
Gracias!
I'm selling pallets right now. Like, 4 bucks pizza. It's me like 80 bucks. Okay.
We're going to let you get back to it, but we're glad you called. Thank you very much.
Get back to that.
Got to interrupt your job here. All right. I hate to say let's go to Jason in Arcadia, but he called yesterday, and apparently this topic is so we didn't have time for him yesterday. It's so important to him that he's calling again today, so let's give him his moment. Jason, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What's good?
You tell us.
Well, the best shite you'll ever take in your entire life and the funniest video I think you'll ever see. It was for me.
Is?
If you don't think it's funny, there's something wrong with your gray meat.
Okay. And it's what?
You need to tell us what it is, though.
For the Squatty Potty, the unicorn commercial for it. A few of the people that worked there, I guess, have seen it already and didn't feel the need to tell you, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with them, but I couldn't stop laughing.
Now, the Squatty Potty is a product? It's a new kind of toilet? Is that what it is?
Oh, it's a product, and at first you'll think it's a joke, but then you'll try it, and you'll be like, oh, wow, it works. It works. And the video will make you laugh harder than you've ever laughed.
Why do we need a better toilet? What's wrong with the toilets we've been using for the past 200 years?
Oh, it's not the toilet so much as it's the tool that you use to sit on it. It really helps. You think it's funny, and it is funny, but it really works. I'm serious. Okay.
So you're not just talking about a video that you've seen. You've tried this?
Yeah, I tried it. Watch the video, and then you could just flip over a trash can or whatever. It doesn't need to be the actual product itself. You just need to achieve the position that they're stating in the commercial.
We'll try that today.
Here's what's going on, because Jason, as enthusiastic as he is doing a terrible job of explaining what the F he's talking about to anybody. But we're on the radio. Nobody listening can watch the video. They're counting on you to tell them what it is, and you won't. The Squatty Potty apparently raises your knees so that you are in a better position. It's a correct pooping position, they say, and it's supposed to help you poop more easily and more comfortably. That's what it's all about.
Okay. And Jason, you've been having problems in this area?
No problems at all, but you'll see what I mean. You're all welcome when you find out about this.
Take it easy.
The video's really funny.
All right.
I think Jason has killed this segment for today and maybe for all time.
Thank you for calling. What's good?
One of our favorite shows on Comedy Central is back. Nathan For You premiered last week. It was on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock. Nathan Fielder is the host. He's here and he's this guy.
My name is Nathan Fielder, and I graduated from one of Canada's top business schools with really good grades. Now, I'm using my knowledge to help struggling small business owners make it in this competitive world. This is Nathan For You.
Yeah, it is. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, thanks for having me back on the show.
It's our pleasure, man. It's good to see you. Season 3, that's not a guarantee in your business that you're going to get an opportunity to come back and do another season. You must be pretty psyched.
Yeah, very excited.
How many episodes do you have?
We have 8 episodes.
8?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do 8 each year so far.
So you've done the equivalent of really one full season of television so far.
Yes. Yes, it's not much of an accomplishment over the course of basically 4 years.
Right, but you don't have to say that. You just go 3 seasons.
The same.
Right, and everybody goes, oh, he must be putting out 23, 24 a year.
Well, the show does take a long time to make, but now I'm just making excuses.
Sure.
Right, exactly. I think you need to break it down where every season is like 2 episodes, and then you're just going to sell like a crazy workout.
I would love that. That would be – because then technically we would have already been in our, 12th season or something.
Right, exactly. So, Nathan, I have many questions for you, and again, it's great to see you. You know, we don't in general hang out with very many Canadians, but we do make exceptions, and we will in your case.
Thank you.
Only because you got pretty good grades.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Those pretty
really,
good grades at that
really
school.
Good.
I think about this a lot of times when we're watching Catfish. We're like, who's left in America that gets catfished? You know, with this show, when that MTV show went on the air, everybody kind of knows what catfishing is all about and what the signs are. I feel like it's got to be getting to that point with you where people know who Nathan Fielder is, and they know when you walk through the door, it's trouble.
Well, it's nice of you to think that. But, you know, I do have a background in business. I did my undergraduate degree in business, and even though I do comedy, I do have some knowledge and experience. And the ideas we bring to these small business owners, even though they're a lot of the times really out of the box or absurd, they also do work in some capacity. We try to make sure that everything can make them money or help their business in some way, but maybe it's just a little more risky than most small business owners would be willing to take
on. Are you surprised by the pushback?
The pushback?
Yeah. I mean, are you surprised that people don't just go? Why not? Why not go for it? You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to try certain things that you suggest or whatever.
Well, people are very – they do try it. I mean, people are
you
very
– You just don't allow it.
What do you mean?
People that you're telling they should do this, they go, oh, I don't know that that's a very good idea.
No, they don't say that.
Oh, they don't.
No, they don't say that. And that's – I mean, that's the surprising thing sometimes is you can see on their face that they – maybe feel like it's not the best idea, but they also don't want to hurt my feelings.
Yes.
So they'll oftentimes agree to do things because I seem excited about it, and they, you know, we're already there. And
we're already there.
Honestly,
that's
like,
crazy.
They feel a pressure to maybe agree to do it. And
all right, let's talk about
life. You're very persuasive too, Nathan.
Well, I mean, thanks.
To your credit, you've got an honest face. You don't come in there like with a smirk on your face and making it seem like they're being set up for a joke. I mean, you come in there very sincerely and you're like, look, you have a problem in your business. This is what I do. Let me help you. And I think in a lot of cases, like the episode Kevin just mentioned for the, you know, last week's episode, you've got a guy who's desperate. You've got a guy who's worried about going out of business. So why not? You're his Hail Mary.
Well, yeah. I mean, not all these business owners are on the verge of bankruptcy. A lot of them are just eager to make more money, and when someone comes in that has marketing experience, they are willing to give something a shot. And probably in their mind, too, they're thinking, well, this isn't necessarily the greatest idea, but if I get on television, then that'll be good exposure for my business. So you can see in their faces sometimes they're just tolerating me for the sake of getting through this, so they
so
can
it's sort of they're accepting the torture, the short term
maybe
torture.
But if people say like to me, no, I don't want to do it, then that's the end. We don't, you know. But most of the time, people aren't that blunt. These are really nice, kind people that we usually frequent, and so these businesses, and I feel like you're seeing maybe a side of people that you don't normally see on reality TV where everyone's always yelling at each other and mad. You're seeing these very kind people struggling oftentimes in a very low stakes social situation.
And you bring them answers that are ridiculous, but I feel like would work in most cases. Like this
Yeah, so this was a small electronics store, mom and pop family business that's been around in South Pasadena for over 60 years, I think. And since Best Buy moved in nearby, it's just become really hard for them to underprice them to compete. So Best Buy has this price match policy where any competitor that has a price, they'll match it,
right?
Which makes it even tougher for them. So my idea was to take advantage of Best Buy's price match policy and for this mom and pop store to lower their prices on their premium TVs to just $1.
Right.
And then force Best Buy to price match, and he'll have a window of time where he can go over to Best Buy, buy up all their inventory.
For a dollar a piece.
For a dollar, and then jack up his prices again and sell them for more.
See, that's a genius idea.
Yeah. And so a lot of these ideas, they're not just, this isn't just a joke. I mean, it's an idea that hasn't been tried before. And I myself am wondering, I wonder how this will actually go.
And you really don't know. I mean, your show is scripted in that you've got some moves planned out, but you kind of have to adapt on the fly based on what happens to you.
Yeah. Last week. So we did it. And we came up with all these. There's a big worry because he actually has to offer TVs for a dollar.
It has to be a real offer.
Right. So we were worried that people would come to his store and buy up all the dollar TVs before he can get them from Best Buy. So we came up with.
I have a clip if I can play. I think
I think
this is exactly where the clip comes
in.
Which is you trying to come up with a plan that people can't buy the $1 TVs from him until he gets the TVs from Best Buy.
Yeah. So to help dissuade these bargain hunters from buying up all of Alan's dollar TVs, I implemented a strict dress code requiring customers to wear formal attire just to enter the store. I then had all the dollar TVs moved to an area at the back of the store and had a new wall constructed to surround this area that could only be entered through
a tiny 2-foot-tall door. Finally, in between the door and the TVs, I added a live alligator, which would hopefully force customers who made it this far to reconsider their decision to take advantage of the great offer.
By the way, for those wondering, it works. If you put an alligator in front of the TV, the customer will not approach it.
Yeah. So some in the episode, someone actually came back in a tuxedo like that they rented because I handed out things when they came and
they lined up the dress code.
Yeah. There was a big line at the beginning because we advertised these dollar TVs and then no one could get in because of the dress code. So I gave them... You know, I said, I'm sorry, we have a dress code, but I told them about tuxedo rental stores in the area if they wanted to meet the dress code and come back.
Right.
And, yeah, one guy did, and he came back. And
it's got to be funny for you to...
He climbed through the tiny door.
It's got to be funny for you to watch that guy in a tux climb through a 2-foot door.
It was a little amusing, yeah. And then, once he saw the alligator, though, he didn't want to go and get the TV, which is what I had thought.
Sure.
Planned. Brilliant. And in the meantime, while all this was happening...
All right, hold the thought.
Okay.
We need to take a break.
Oh, okay. So, what, commercials?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you got to get the money from advertisers.
Exactly.
I come from a business background. Okay, I know all about this model.
Okay.
So, totally fine.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Comedian David Spade joins us next hour, and our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky is coming up. In the meantime, that dynamic and exciting voice you hear with us this morning is actor, director Nathan Fielder. He is, of course, the star of Nathan For You, Thursday nights at 10 on Comedy Central. All right, so when we left your story of last week's episode for folks who didn't see it, you are trying to force Best Buy into honoring their price match policy to sell TVs for $1 because the small business you're trying to help out is also advertising them for $1. So you hire a team of people to go in there to try to get Best Buy to match this price, and they say no. Was that a surprise to you, Nathan?
Well,
it was to me because I didn't see any way out of it for
them.
We
made sure to follow their price match policy to the T. You know, we looked at every clause and it seemed like we were following it. They had no minimum price that
okay.
They said they never said we're not. And these were like $2,000 TVs. So it, you know, you'd expect they would say, well, we're not going to price match below $500 or something. It didn't say that. So
you must have been surprised.
They should have priced. And we actually talked to a lawyer. This wasn't in the show. We got cut. It got cut, but we actually talked to a lawyer who said, yes, you are following, they should have to honor this.
How much was it edited from what we saw on television? Because it looked like the employees just on their own, upon seeing the coupon that was presented, said, no, I'm not going to honor it. It's not like they ran it up the food chain or brought over a manager or anything like that. Was that just a decision?
Well, there was
a lot of
confusion, I guess, because I hired a bunch of people just to go buy these TVs, and they went first, and they all tried to argue with them, and I think they were a little confused at first or didn't know what to say because they couldn't really think of a reason why not. But I think
they were just people. How many did you have? Eight? Nine?
We had
whatever.
Six people, I think.
At the same time went in with the one.
Because there's only one per customer. So,
right.
You know, we wanted to get a lot. And we were even planning to jump from Best Buy to Best Buy to even try to get more. But, yeah, we got shut down. Then I left the store to go there and I tried to negotiate.
They just said no. How do they do that?
They didn't
really
give a clear reason. I know.
I don't get that.
I encourage people to take this up with them because it was very frustrating. So I decided because of that to take legal action against Best Buy.
Okay.
Yes, and file a lawsuit. And in the show, you know, you see the process of me doing that. Yeah.
And you have to find an employee.
Yeah,
that can give you some information.
Right.
This is all happening in the course of one show.
Yes. So then I talked to a legal advisor who tells me that it would be good if I had an inside source, a whistleblower almost from Best Buy, who could say that this is something they do often, would reject price matches, not for a good reason.
Right.
And if you could establish like a culture of doing this, then you'd have a better chance in court. So then I had to go undercover to find – because no one's just going to do it on camera. It would be hard to find someone from within Best Buy to just blow
right.
the whistle.
Sure.
So I tried to – my plan was to recruit – I put up a post for a fake dating show, mm-hmm. reality dating show called Retail Dating, where people at different retail stores go on blind dates.
Right.
And we were recruiting Best Buy employees for this show, quote unquote. So then we found someone, a female, who worked at Best Buy, and I posed as a manager of a Hot Topic, and we went on
a
blind date.
Sexy one, too, yeah, by the way, Nathan.
Oh, well, thank
your
you so much.
Really,
yeah.
I mean,
it was a different look for me because it was
the
a
lip
bit,
ring.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like the buttons on my shirt were pins. I think.
All right, so you meet her, you get her to tell
yeah,
you that
so
they
the,
occasionally
in the guise of flirting. You know, I ended up getting some sort of evidence from her that, you know, they have done this before. People sometimes deny price matches for no reason just because they're not in the mood.
How was that not enough?
Well,
because then it seems like you kept taking steps.
Yeah, I had to do some, you know, there were some other things I had to do. You know, the store owner was worried about getting sued, so I wanted him declared legally insane so he couldn't, so Best Buy couldn't come after him legally.
Right.
So
now at that point, there wasn't a lot of that negotiation left in it. Did the guy say, I don't want to be declared legally insane?
Well, he didn't know what was happening. Yeah, I told him he was just going to go to – I booked him an appointment with an L.A.-based clinical psychologist.
Right.
And I just said to him, oh, we have to do this for the show. You have to just do some, like, you have to go see a psychologist just so we make sure everything's okay. And so we went there with him, and he just thought it was that. But before we started, I told the psychologist that privately that I'm worried about this guy because he thinks he's the manager of an electronics store and has been working there for the past 15 years.
Which he is, and he was.
And she was like, oh, okay, which he is, yeah. So then he came in. I just said, oh, just be yourself to him before he came in. And he sat down. He just said, oh, yeah, I work in an electronics store. I've been working here for the past 15 years. And then I had him tell her about the alligator in the store. So he starts talking about an alligator and the tiny door and the dress code.
This guy's full on crazy.
After he leaves, I try to get her evaluation and I'm like, so what do you think? And she's saying, I think this is psychosis. Like, I honestly do. Like, he's not rooted in reality. And I asked her to put it in writing for me, and she did.
Okay.
And this is a real psychologist who made a diagnosis based on that.
So she's not in on it at all. She doesn't have any prior knowledge as to what you're doing. She just knows you're filming her.
Yes, yes. She knows she's evaluating someone.
That's the beauty of your show, though. Again, like I said earlier, Nathan, is you and it must be what makes it fun for you, is you never know what you're going to end up doing on each episode. You have a framework, but then it just goes off into all sorts of weird directions.
Yeah, my favorite stuff is when we have a plan, but then something will throw it off, and then we can just kind of deal with that in real time. And I think it leads to the most authentic moments. A lot of reality show also, to me, feels very fake, how people react in that stuff and how people are. So
it's too scripted feeling.
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I like, you know, it's good to have a plan, but also to get a lot of those real moments that undercut that.
Now, last season you used to do two or three stories in an episode, or two stories in an episode, right?
We do have some of that too. Tonight's episode is, there's three different segments. This is one of my favorite episodes tonight.
All right, tell us who you're helping tonight.
Well, there's two businesses. I'm helping a horseback riding ranch.
Four.
And, you know, one of the issues, I don't know if you know about horseback riding, but horses can only take a person below a certain weight. You know, I think it's like 220 pounds or else the horse will start to get, so they have a weight restriction.
Right.
So I try to, I come up with a plan to allow heavier people to ride horses by displacing their weight using helium balloons.
Sure.
Right, which has never been done.
Of course.
It enables you to serve everyone and not kind of discriminate against people for their weight.
Right.
You know? So then I help this women's boutique by, you know, I put a man zone in the back of the women's boutique so men have a place to be while the women shop, which turns out to be a challenge. But there's one of the stories tonight is actually a personal story of something that really happened in my life where I've been wearing this jacket on the show for the past two seasons, mm-hmm. a windbreaker from Vancouver. Like, you know, the climate up there in Seattle, Bean knows, right?
Yeah.
It's like everyone wears like soft shell jackets and stuff. So right. I've had this one for the past decade from this Vancouver company called Taiga. And I'd been wearing it, and I found out in between last season and this season that they had published a tribute to a notorious Holocaust denier in their winter catalog, this company that I've been supporting. And as a Jew, that's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
That's, as a, anyone, that's bad.
Right.
I would think.
But in searching, you know, for a replacement, I started to get concerned. Like, I didn't know that any of these other jacket companies didn't have some sort of dark secret as well. So I decided the only way to be safe was to start a jacket company of my own.
Of course. Okay. So you can't trust Land's End at this point.
Yeah, well, who knows? Well, it seems fine now, but then I don't know if it's just going to be the same situation. This is the safest thing because I'm in control.
That's right. You know, yeah, you're not a Holocaust denier.
Right. And to undo the damage I've done, you know, I make this the first outdoor apparel company to openly promote the true story of the Holocaust.
Okay.
So...
Sounds like quite a hook for the buying public to get into.
Yeah, so tune in. And you can see... Well, I consult with the rabbi and we launched this thing. So you can see that tonight. And it was like my dad got shamed at his synagogue for wearing the jacket. That's how I found out.
Because
someone
right?
was like, get that off. So it's kind of a big thing, but it,
wow.
No one ever followed up with the... Like, a Jewish newspaper asked the company, like, why did you put this... in your catalog, and they never said anything. So it's really weird.
I love your show, Nathan, and I love that you
sorry,
are
not
doing
to bring stuff down with the Holocaust.
No.
That's fascinating.
It happened.
And I love the way you handled it, too, you know? I love your show, and I love that it is different from every other show on television, too, which is what, you know, one of the things that we're so excited about is it's so unique, and it's such an extension of your personality to no one else could do Nathan for you.
That's
very
how
few people
feel,
are named Nathan, for
that's
starters.
That's how I feel about the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a love fest. Is that beautiful or what?
That's how
all
I
right,
feel.
Nathan for You is season 3 is back. It came back last night. Go back and watch the Best Buy.
No, tonight.
Came back last
week. Came back last week.
Right. Came back last week.
New yes, episode
new
tonight.
New episode tonight at
one 10 of our
o'clock.
Best.
Yeah, it sounds like an awesome episode. Nathan, it's great to see you again. Congratulations. Continued success.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Rob is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
What's going on? What's going on?
What's going on?
Guy's Night Out's going on. Friday night at the Bicycle Casino.
Yay!
The bike, of course, Bicycle Hotel and Casino in Bell Gardens, California. They're having a big poker tournament, the Guy's Night Out poker tournament. And our guys are going to be there, Dave the King of Mexico, beer mug, playing poker. You could win major cash. And if you want to sit at Dave the King of Mexico's table, and why wouldn't you? That's if nothing else, you're getting sparkling conversation.
Like this.
Hey, baby, what's up? Hey, how you doing? Good looking? Woo! Hey, you want to hook up or what?
He's got that kind of game.
That's right.
What was that? What did I just say?
It was the King of Mexico.
King Mexico with his game. Hey, good looking. I'll be back to pick you up later. He was from Mr. Microphone commercial, wasn't
we
he?
We should hook up.
If you'd like to play at Dave's table this Friday night at 8 p.m., plus get a rack of chips worth $200. That's American dollars, by the way.
That's true.
Hmm. Why don't you give us a call right now? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Since it's 8 o'clock tomorrow night, how about 8? Caller number 8. The lucky winner gets a spot at Dave's table and gets that rack of chips. If you'd like to RSVP for your spot in the poker tournament, you can do so right now at thebike.com as well. Doors open at 8 p.m., as I mentioned. And you got to be 21 years of age or older to play. Speaking of Friday night, Hollywood Babylon returns to the Improv on Melrose on Friday night. Kevin Smith and I have been touring a little bit with the show, and now we're bringing it home to the Improv on Melrose. By the way, not for nothing, and this feels like a sham and a horrible mistake on somebody's part, but I just found out this week that they are unveiling a large portrait of Kevin and myself on the wall at the Improv on Melrose.
No way!
Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the Improv on Melrose. The Improv, one of the legendary comedy clubs in all of the United States.
Yes.
The walls are festooned, if you will, with legendary comedians. We're talking your Seinfelds and your Robin Williams and Drew Carey and just everybody who's anybody has a large photographic portrait on the wall at the Improv as an homage, if you will, to their participation in the history of that club.
Is yours going to be permanent, do you think? Or will they just throw it up over...
I do know
over...
they are hanging it with Velcro.
Just throw it up
me.
Over Don Rickles.
So, how take it back dare down. You, sir?
I'm just thinking of an old comedian.
But they have a big picture of Kevin and I on the wall now at the Improv.
How about that?
Since we've been, we've been there for years. Good. I mean, we've been doing a regular show there for years, so I can understand you know, our familiarity with the club. But to be honored amongst those greats, pretty cool. So Friday night, we're bringing the show back, The Late Show at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. And then next weekend, next Friday night, we're doing our big Hollywood Boo-Balon to celebrate Halloween. And we're going to have a big Halloween show and a costume contest. And I'm going to be dressing up as well. So come see what I am. So nice when those
that's
guys
a
do
lovely
it that
no.
way. That's a way to that's a way to get a no right there.
That's right.
A little barbershop quartet. Sure, you're wondering right now, who do I vote for president? Yes, of course, Donald Trump seems the most enticing, attracting candidate. He's the one you want to be president. But there's other people in the race.
Mm-hmm.
You've got powerhouses like Jack Webb. No, what the hell is
Jack
his name?
Webb? I don't think Mike Webb. I think it's his name.
Mike Webb, Carl Webb, Stephen Weber.
I think it's Mike. It's Jim. No, it's Jim.
Jim Webb. Right. He's a loaded gun. He's a firecracker. That Jim Webb,
or whatever his name is.
Of course, you got Hillary.
Sure.
Or right. Benghazi, as I like to call her, right?
Sure, yeah.
You got old man Sanders yelling at you from his porch. There's any number of people you could vote for.
Well, you got the Bobby Jindal, don't forget him.
Right.
You got the Indian one, right, or Pakistan, where he's from.
He's from Louisiana.
Yeah, but you know. He's replacing the Kenyans.
You don't know,
so.
I do know. I don't think you know.
Yeah, but you know. Well, what's your point, Ralph?
My
there's
point
a lot of candidates still in the race.
A lot of candidates still in the race, but... How will you know who to vote for unless you ask the important questions?
Okay.
Until you get the stand of the candidate on the important issues.
And what are the important issues?
Who's your favorite superhero? These are the things that the electorate needs to know.
Okay.
And someone asked that of Jeb Bush during a Q&A in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Finally, we got to some substantial topics. And Jeb Bush revealed his favorite superhero. Would you like to hear?
Sure.
Here you go.
I saw that there's a Supergirl is on TV. I saw it when I was working out this morning. There's an ad promoting Supergirl. She looked pretty hot.
Wow.
Supergirl's kind of hot.
She looked pretty hot.
She looked pretty hot. I was working out this morning. Where am I working out? What does he mean exactly? I'd like to know. So there you go.
She looked pretty hot.
Jeb Bush endorses Supergirl.
Now, I have to ask, Ralph, if you're personally offended as a lifelong comic book geek, does it seem to you like Jeb Bush had never, ever thought of a comic book hero before, never given a superhero any kind of thought in his whole life, so it's just the one he saw on TV most recently is his favorite now?
I think he was just grasping for straws.
Calling him out on being a poser bean?
He came up with Supergirl.
This is a guy who didn't read comic books or go to the movies or anything like that or watch the various shows on TV. He had nothing. He was a blank slate. If he hadn't seen that Supergirl commercial, I have no idea if he would have come up with any of them.
Well, when pressed, he said also after the fact, I kind of like the old school guys like Batman. So again, he's just, who do I know? I think there's a Batman.
Who have I heard of? What superhero will come to my head?
Yeah. So
I play that game every day.
If you need to know, there you go.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jesse Tyler Ferguson is 40 years old today. Spike Jones is 46. Bob Odenkirk, 53 years old today. Jeff Goldblum is 63. And Christopher Lloyd, Doc Brown himself, celebrates his 77th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat.
Quick reminder, by the way, coming up later on between now and the end of the show, courtesy of our friends at The Last Witch Hunter, starring Vin Diesel in theaters tomorrow, is the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. It's going to be a week from tomorrow night, October 30th at the El Rey Theater. A lot of K-Rock DJs are going to be there. $5,000 costume contest. Cage the Elephant is performing. Peking Duck and DJ Jeremiah Red as well. And we want you to be there. So between now and the end of the show, give you another chance to call in and win. Plus, you can get all the details for the Halloween Ball at krock.com. Not sure what brought up this topic of your parents got into your social media. I think it was a parent like commenting on a story. Was it Justin Bieber's dad?
Well, that did happen recently and got us talking about it. Justin Bieber had those paparazzi naked photos that came out of him in Bora Bora with his wiener swinging in the wind.
Right.
And you would think that that would be an embarrassing thing for any young person and for his parents as well. But Justin Bieber's dad hopped onto Bieber's Instagram page, I think, basically, and said, "Hey, what do you feed that thing?"
Yeah.
Hashtag proud daddy. Now, first of all, your father should never be commenting on your penis.
Agreed.
First of all. Second of all, certainly not online to humiliate you in front of, in Justin Bieber's case, tens of millions of people, right? There's no way Justin Bieber was happy with that remark.
I don't know.
He may be famous, but he's still a kid who has to be totally embarrassed by his father stepping in this situation, right?
I would think so, but having said that, it's all – I mean, it really is all about him having a big penis, which you would think maybe he's not so upset about.
You want to hear that from Selena Gomez.
Yes, I agree.
You don't want to hear that from your father.
Agreed.
So here's what we thought might be interesting is to talk to you, the Kevin DeBean listener, at 1-800-520-1067 about the times that your parents have gotten into your social media feed where they have posted something that you wish they hadn't, something that was embarrassing perhaps, something that upset you, or you've upset them by something that they've seen. And I think this is a conversation that has to be going on a million times a day in this country, which is, "Mom, don't follow me on Instagram."
Yeah.
"Dad, you've got no business being on Snapchat." Look, my wife is on Facebook, and she is friends with, my dad on Facebook. And all the time, he completely misunderstands and is confused and upset by things that she and her friends are talking about because they're very much from a different generation. Donna is, good friends with, our token blacklister, Anel, and they do stuff all the time on the Facebook page that's race-related.
Right.
And they're really good friends, and they get it, and their friends all get it. But my dad is just horrified by the things that are said on that Facebook page. He's like, "You can't say things like that to an African American." And she's like, "You don't understand our relationship, Dad. We're friends and he's cool and I'm cool." You know what I mean? Like, you don't need your dad, or in her case, father-in-law, in the mix on a story like that.
Yeah, nothing good can come from that.
Nothing good can come from
that. I haven't had my parents, post anything. But when I went to the U.S.-Mexico game at the Rose Bowl, I tweeted a picture, I think it was on Instagram actually, a picture of our goalie getting in a fight with most of the Mexican team, and everybody was around him and it was a big scene. And I was like, "I'm not one to, make things worse, but I'm going to regulate if I need to." And I was just putting it out there. I was trying to be funny. And I got a text from my mom going, "Are you all right?" And I thought, well, I'm not sure, but I don't want to be asked that by you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It was
Your mom didn't need to step in, because if you needed to take down the Mexican team, Kevin, you're capable
right.
of taking down the Mexican team
and
on your own, right?
And the 99,000 fans that were there. Yes.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it may not have been the safest ever, but it is troubling. Like, thank God she didn't comment publicly.
Right.
Like, that seems
yeah,
to
thank
be
God
the step.
It was a text, at least. Yeah.
That seems to be the step that really just makes things terrible.
So, again, we want to hear from you if there's been a problem with you saying or doing something on social media that your parents got upset by, or your parents doing something in your feed that got you upset, in trouble, or whatever you wish they hadn't, or they embarrassed you or something like that. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. How do you handle it when obviously your parents want to be in, they want to see your social media posts? A lot of times, you move away from home or whatever, they don't see you as much in person as they'd like to, so they want to kind of keep up with your life and what you're doing. You can't not add them to your circles, right? I mean, they've got to be in the mix.
No.
I mean,
no, I don't want them in the mix.
I know. No, Mom, I don't have a Facebook page.
Do you want your mom reading your Twitter?
No.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
only
I mean, I don't
bad can come from that.
Right. But how do you get out of that? My question to you is, if your mom says, "Hey, what's your Twitter? What's your Instagram?"
I say I'm not on Twitter or Instagram.
But what if she knows you are? You can't not let her see it. I mean, look, that's why this is tough. That's why misunderstandings happen. And that's why we know that you, the Kevin DeBean listeners, are going to come through. Let's start with Lauren, please, up first, line one. She's in Los Alamitos, and she joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for listening. What's going on?
So my mom and my sister, they wanted to go on this reality show. It was called Flip Trip. And so what we were supposed to do is we were supposed to Skype with the producers to see if they liked us, if they wanted to do it. But during that time, you know, I really wasn't ready to be on a reality show. I really wasn't interested. So the time that we had our interview, it was like super early in the morning. They're like, okay, you know, you're going to be there. Like, we have to do this. So I ended up just like not showing up.
Right.
So my mom and my sister were freaking out. They're like, Warren would never do this. We just don't know what to do. So they went into my Facebook and they went all over my social media, basically saying that I had been held hostage, that I was with some guy. And
Wait. So you were supposed to show up to something and you didn't. And so they started posting.
Yeah, so they're like, she was last seen with this guy. We think she's been abducted.
Did they call you or text you?
They did. I may not have answered it, but...
Okay, alright. So they went on and just got everybody in your social network circles just fired up thinking something had really happened to you, like you were in trouble.
Everyone was like, no, she's fine. She's probably still hungover. Like, you don't need to worry.
I like all of your friends are now jumping in and going, no, she's good. Lauren's good.
So she decided to call the cops, and I live in Orange County, and he lived in Valencia at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she called the cops and said that I was being held hostage against my will.
Oh, my God.
So
your mom is a nightmare.
She is awful. So she's a psychologist, if that makes any help. So we wake up to the cops, like, knocking on his door, and they're like, is Lauren here, freaking out? So I come to the door. I'm like, hey, how's it going? It was awful.
And they, did they have,
come up.
Did they have guns drawn at that point?
No, not at that point. They're just like, you know, we're really concerned. So people still come up to me and they're like, hey, you know, like, we heard you were, like, held hostage. Like, are you okay? Did things work out for you? I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Why would your mom do that?
I get that she's worried.
Crazy.
She is crazy. I get that she's worried, but that's not the way to handle it, is to go on your Facebook page and talk about it. That's for sure.
So now I log out every time.
Maybe text her back, Lauren.
Maybe so. Hey, Mom, I'm fine. I just don't want to be on a reality TV show. All right, thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Anna, you hang on. We're going to get you first when we come back, and everybody else, too. 1-800-520-1067. Don't forget, you can always text the Kevin and Bean Show, too, at the number 2-KROQ. That's 25767. Your calls and more right after this on K-Rock. We're going to talk to comedian actor David Spade coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, we're talking about your parents got into your social media feed. Here's a couple of texts real quick before we go to the phones from the 323. I have a cousin who will comment or question everything I post on social media. It's the most annoying thing ever. Do not add family on social media. But again, I ask Mr. 323, how do you get around it? Johnny writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, my mom is on Facebook and I'm constantly making her eyes burn. My family is a devoted conservative Christian family and I am a liberal agnostic. I got into it when she got upset because I posted a pro-gay cartoon. I don't care if somebody doesn't like my post. They don't have to follow me, even family. Wow, it sounds like a lot of tension with the social media and your parents, right?
Yeah.
They should stay out, right? Let's try Anna Pomona, line 2, to get us going, get some phone calls on the air. Hi, Anna. Thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning. I have a question. What happens if it's the other way around?
What does that mean?
Like, if I'm alone with my father's posting.
What happens
Say that again? He's what?
He posts stuff that you have a problem with?
Yes. He posts, earlier this year, the reason how I found out my parents were divorcing was because of the post that he was posting. He was posting, those Tumblr quotes. The if you weren't there at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. You know, and it went to liking, then it went to sharing. And then he started liking these other girls' pictures. And I'm like, what are you doing? I finally had to call him out on it. And that's when they said, oh, you know, we're separating.
That is not how to find out. Did you say, Dad, how about a phone call?
I deleted my Facebook.
Yes, I think that's better than watching your dad creep on other girls on social media. All right, Anna, well done. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Jessica, Los Angeles, line 3, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for calling. What happened?
Hey, so you know how everyone has that, like, crazy, wild aunt that just says inappropriate things and does inappropriate things at parties?
I love that aunt.
That's my mom.
Oh, no.
And
okay.
So she says really embarrassing things all the time. But giving her a public forum to post it on is just pretty much the worst thing that could ever happen to me.
So
what kind of stuff does she post?
Okay, so I have her blocked, so I can never see it, but I get screenshots from my friends.
They're doing the right thing. Go ahead.
Of course, because they love to humiliate me as well. And so on June 22nd, I don't know if you knew this, but it was National No Panty Wearing Day. And my mom made sure to post that and tell all her fellow, as she calls them, cochinas, to not wear panties. And
oh
so I have
gosh.
A friend who was like, oh, my God, I'm going to blow this up and post this all over everywhere. And I'm just like, you guys are the worst.
Oh,
and she
man.
Does it all the time, these horrible things. And she'll make sex jokes and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm your child. Can you not?
Yeah. Look, this is always a delicate balance because it's hard for anyone to imagine that parents are humans, too, and they do have sex. But you never, ever, ever want to hear about it from your parents. You just don't. You
exactly
don't want to
like
know if your mom's not wearing panties. You don't need to know that.
Exactly. And I don't think the rest of Facebook needs to know that. It's like, cool, mom, yeah. You want to let it breathe, have at it. But you don't need to tell us about it.
Let it breathe in private.
Exactly. Thank you, Jessica. Great call. Let's go to Mandy, line 7. She's in Long Beach. By the way, Mandy is a name you can add to that list of all girls named Mandy are hot, just so you know. Mandy,
right.
Welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's going on?
Hey, so my dad, he made a Snapchat, and I added him on accident somehow, and I actually snuck out with my now boyfriend, but at the time he was not.
Right.
So I snuck out with him, and I posted some pictures on it, and I totally got caught by my dad, and I didn't end up coming home until 2 in the morning. So I got in a lot of trouble from that, and even when he did catch me from that, I tried to lie my way out of that, too.
Yeah.
So it was pretty bad.
I got to be honest.
A lot of trouble.
I got to be honest. I feel like that's on you.
Yeah.
You're sneaking out of the house with a boyfriend and putting it on Snapchat?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that you would never think your dad would have the account, but...
Yeah. So it was my fault, but it was... I don't understand why he needed Snapchat.
Yeah.
He's not
well, now we
young,
know. He needed
so.
Snapchat because his daughter's a whore. That's why. David Spade is on the phone. He's got a couple of upcoming dates in town, Thursday, October 29th, and Tuesday, November 10th at the Irvine Improv. Go to improv.com. How are you, Mr. Spade?
I think that first one sold out, by the way.
The first one
first
is sold,
one
out.
Sold out. You are correct,
but
yes.
The November 10th is... And everyone gets a book. Isn't that unreal?
Yeah. Yes. So you buy a ticket, you get to see some comedy. You also get a copy of your autobiography that is out called David Spade is Almost Interesting, which, by the way, I read this weekend, David.
No way.
And I got to tell you, my reaction to this book was much the same as any David Spade project that I encountered, which is, how good can this be? Spade is involved. And then I look at it and I go, you know what? It's actually pretty good. So you have surprised me.
Well, I'm shocked that you read it because that's not in your job description. I know you're supposed to sort of pretend like you read it, but, I like that you took some time. There is some stuff in it that has to be somewhat funny. I mean, just the odds of me working on it for 8 months or a year or whatever, it's got to be okay. But, yeah, there's some stuff that probably is a drag.
I thought there was a lot of funny stuff in it. And I'll tell you this, for the listeners who are thinking they know David Spade, they're thinking, oh, my God, that guy is so cool. When you read about David's success with the chess club, with spelling bees, with his coin collection. It's going to blow you away how cool this guy is.
Oh, my God. Read 47 books in school, the most. Spelling bee champ. Yeah, I was nerdly, as you saw, and then I turned to try to be social in high school, and I left it all in the past. Mm-hmm. My mom told me, I go, when did I get dumb? She said, somewhere around freshman, sophomore year of high school.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is you were a really, really good student, but your downfall was discovering how much you liked to do comedy. I mean, that's made you think, oh, I don't have to study anymore because now I've got this show business career that I think I can make it at, and you're one of the few people who was able to, you know, it turned out to be true.
It was so lucky because I remember just saying, if I could just not borrow money, that's a success. So I jumped a little early because I was doing – crummy gigs around town, like at halftime of Monday Night Football, I'd be like, yada da da, get up on stage. And so when I when I finally, I was getting $20 a pop, basically for gas, and I had four of those a week, and then I quit my job and quit school. And my mom's like, $80 a week? Is that really pinnacle? And that's going to cover your nut every month? I go, I think. I mean, my car costs $300, so. Anyway, I talk about my brief drug use.
yeah, you loved cocaine, but you didn't stick with it for very long, which I was kind of surprised. I thought you had more commitment to things than that.
I tried. I talked about when I did too much, and my buddy took me to the hospital. I was scared I was. But then I started about, I lasted about 5 days, where I was like, never again. And 5 days later, I go, maybe a little. and then I couldn't take it anymore. You know, when I got on Saturday Night Live, I stopped before that, and I'm like, what was I thinking? This is where you need it.
Yes.
You know what's funny is you on Saturday Night Live, to me, you always see people on Saturday Night Live and you go, they must be the most confident people in the world. But reading your book, you weren't confident at all.
Well, I was in over my head. Like, I got hired and I was like a high school basketball player getting to the pros. Like, but I wasn't LeBron.
Right.
I was a pretty good player that wins the pros. So everyone was better, and it was very hard to stick with it. It was very hard to, like, stand out. Forget about it. Just survive. You know, it took me a while to get even and then try to, like, do bits where people go, oh, who's this guy? It took a long
time. Yeah. And I, this is Bean speaking, David. I love Saturday Night Live. I love the history of Saturday Night Live. I love reading about it. I've read so many books from people who have been on it. And, of course, it's been a gold mine these last few years with the 40th anniversary stuff that's come out.
Yeah,
yours is
yeah.
one of the best accounts I've ever read from inside 30 Rock and what it's like to work there. It sounds like, for most of the time you were on Saturday Night Live, it was a miserable job for you.
It was just tough, and you can't complain because you are on Saturday Night Live. Everyone's like, what could be the problem? But when you're not doing that great and the stress of writing, like, I'm okay, but when you have to write every goddamn week, and, you know, Joe Pesci walks in, then Alec Baldwin, then Tom Hanks, like, what do you got for him? I'm like, the idea I had last week that didn't work? Plug him in there. Because it's hard to think of a new idea you haven't done in 25 years at that show. Because they'll be like, ah, that's too much like Toons is the Cat. Oh, that's too much like a good-looking guy's club. So you go, So that was hard. And then hitting at a time when everyone was good was hard. There's been, like, ups and downs in that show. And I sort of hit. They didn't tell us then. They said we were horrible. But later, when people are like, that was the good time, and it's not, I go, it was? No one told us.
Yeah, I mean, because you must think now, you must have photos at home, David, where you look back at you're out to lunch with Judd Apatow and Rob Schneider and Chris Farley and Chris Rock and Dennis Miller. I mean, Dana Carvey, and the list just goes on and on and on. And I bet even you in the time didn't realize that you were sitting among, you know, just a generation of comedy legends.
I didn't really. I knew Dennis was really good because he was probably my favorite comic going in. On the writing standpoint, I couldn't believe the stuff he was doing. And then when I got there, I knew all these guys were good. I knew Dana was very good at what he did because I could see him at read-through. And you can somehow, when you hang out with people and see how they are in real life, you can tell if they're quick on their feet or if they're a threat or if they're a problem. And I was like, everyone's a threat. Because, you know, Mike Myers is there writing stuff, and he's a monster. And he, not only are the writers good, from Conan O'Brien, Bob Odenkirk, Smigel, you know, all these Crazy. Guys, but you've got Myers writing his own stuff and Sandler. And Farley's the only one that really didn't, but he was covered either way. It didn't matter.
Yeah, I want to talk about Chris Farley. And I know a lot of people link you two together because of Tommy Boy and Black Sheep, and you write a lot about them in the book. This is David Spade, by the way, on the phone. We're talking about his book called Almost Interesting, available everywhere now. You knew within 5 minutes of meeting Chris Farley that he had it. He would be a superstar. How could you tell? And is that something you can teach, or is that just something you're born with?
You know, that might be sort of a lie. I think I knew right away that I had a thing with him. Like, we jived from the get-go. He was funny. He laughed when he said hi to me. He snapped his head around his hair like he does. How are you? Jack Dugan, Gallagher, Tent, and Awning. He always says some different thing that he does. Like, I'm here with a convention. And when he'd see a girl, he goes, hey, me and my buddy Dave Spade over there, we're in a convention. We got $50 left on our expense account. We'd like to buy you little ladies a drink. How about them apples? And he had this whole rap down that never worked 100% of the time. And it was just fun, but you go, oh, this guy's so likable. And then when he got to work and he starts doing stuff, I go, oh, boy. And I say in the book, the first sketch, he was just in handcuffs. It's like a one line in a scene. And I watched him the whole time. So he's squirming around the handcuffs and snapping his head. I go, why am I watching this guy? It's not even about him. And then every scene he would be in, everyone caught on very quickly that he could steal it, and they just start putting him in stuff.
Amazing. It's a real love letter to Chris. I was curious, David, you spent so many years on Rules of Engagement and on Just Shoot Me, and they are barely mentioned in the book. Yeah. How come?
I just had dinner with all those Just Shoot Me people. I didn't mention that part, but I didn't mention it to them because I think I just ran out. Like, I didn't know how much I would be into certain parts. I started the book, I did a little bit, and then it wasn't enough. And then they go, what about growing up with your stepdad and your dad leaving you? And I was like, oh. I go, well, if I'm going to do that, I will sort of go through my life then, how I got my first Johnny Carson, how I got my first stand-up. And then I started doing that. And by the time I got through Saturday Night Live and a few other things, I was like, I'm done. So now I've got to either do it later another time and get more into it or not. But I think there was enough stuff there where I liked it. And sometimes they want you to expand on stuff. So I go, it's too boring. They go, it's actually not. The guy trying to kill me, they're like, you know, make that out in real time. Walk through everything you had to do while you were being attacked. I was like, okay. So that turned into more. And it's funny because I just gave one to Sandler and Schneider. Schneider is the best. Schneider I go after a little bit, but we are buddies now. Actually, we're all doing a gig in San Diego in November. Me, Schneider, Sandler, and Nick Swartzen, which is funny. Because we're trying to get together and go out and do the road a little bit. And then that's interesting in itself because Sandler's playing, you know, he's starting to do it again. But in the book, Schneider and I had a little friction at the beginning of SNL. Wow. We came in as best friends, and then immediately the stress of it all got to us, and it was like a reality show of, like, who could break faster, you know, and we both failed miserably.
Well, you tell some great stories in the book, and I'm very sad that we're out of time because I could talk to you about this all day. I really thought there was some interesting stuff, and if anyone's interested at all in David Spade, I don't know why you would be, but I mean, he knows a lot of famous people, so you might check out the book. It's called Almost
Something.
Interesting. It comes out on Tuesday, by the way. It is available for pre-order right now at Amazon.com or wherever you get your books, and you can get a copy of the book and see David live on stage at the Irvine Improv on November the 10th. Tickets are available right now at Improv.com, and that's a signed copy of the book too. So congratulations.
Yeah.
I mean,
way
it sounds like
valuable.
you can put it right up on eBay as soon as you get home. You can turn a nice profit. I'm glad you saved some stuff for volume two, David, and I hope we see you again soon, man. Thanks for coming on.
You guys are always cool. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet.
It is 8:53.
Ralph, I know you're here for Showbiz People.
Yes.
We need some advice. You're often a guy who's is able to give us an outside perspective on what we're doing wrong.
Thank you.
You can steer us in the right direction.
Try.
It's freaking October 22nd.
Yes.
And there's barely any two eyeballs.
Right.
There's almost no Halloween spooks.
I'll tell you, there's been more goddamn two eyeballs than there's been Halloween spooks, I'll tell you that much.
It's been a rough season for us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I just got a request from a dear listener who said, how about a little climate mash while we're at it?
Oh,
so I just feel like
sure.
now we're like way behind on everything, and Halloween is next weekend.
Well, whose fault is that?
Well, I'm saying what
you're
what
the
can
guy
you do?
Who has the things to play.
I feel like we fail, is what I'm saying. I'm
what
looking
do you
for
mean
some
we,
advice,
white man.
I'm looking for some tips on how we can do better.
Ralph has no controls on his side.
You know what I have over here that play those songs? What buttons I have? Zero buttons that can play those songs. You know what?
Well,
you have all of the buttons. So how is we to blame?
Let's make a deep commitment right now to get some goddamn Halloween music on the air.
What are you
That's
talking to us for?
I think he's talking to me because I couldn't. Hate.
Well, you hate
Halloween
the ball. You hate a ball. I know.
Oh, but the climate mash I love.
The climate mash you're in for?
That's
okay,
terrible.
Maybe we'll work that in somewhere, too. All right. Dr. Drew joins us just after 9. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
You could play any of those songs, Bean, at the beginning of any break during any show.
But what should he do, Ralph?
But I'm saying, why is he making a plea for us to make some sort of commitment?
Because
asshole.
We are over...
Right.
No, it's not
She's
true.
Right. She's right.
It's because we're overscheduled, and when the song ends and I go, ooh, it would be super fun to play some Halloween Spooks right now, boom, we've got David Spade on the phone or whatever it is. We've got something else we're doing. You know what I mean? We can't.
Who
just
are you
bump.
Talking to?
Here's the thing I would suggest. Call less underage girls whores.
She was 21.
Do you wish? And play more Halloween music. I would just take my time away from that. I would take the away from the whore shaming. And I would play more music that relates to the Halloween season. That would be my choice. That's where I would skim off the top, time-wise.
I am going to make a concerted effort to do better.
All right.
Dumb son of a bitch.
Right. She's right.
She's right.
I'm very excited.
Are you kidding me? Get it together.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
About?
About Simon Cowell coming back to my television. Woo! 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 Anybody watch America's Got Talent? Anybody watch that show?
Occasionally,
I haven't watched since our buddy
Taylor Williamson.
Taylor Williamson won second place on that show. I think it was the last full season. That
and
I
he
watched.
Said second place. Hell yeah!
Right?
No.
So I may go back to watch Simon Cowell make fun of people because I always enjoyed that. Always enjoyed watching Simon slap some people around. He is taking the place of Howard Stern, who is leaving the show.
It's true.
So, Cal apparently will be joining the cast next season.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
We lost him on American Idol, then he went over to The X Factor, of course, a show of his creation. And I didn't ever watch that. Was he even on the American version? I don't know. Was it?
I think he was.
It was short-lived.
Yes.
It was
now
short-lived.
He just does the UK. Now he just does the British one. Yeah.
Exists still. And now he's going to do AGT, as the people in the know call it. So I'm looking forward to that.
No.
Speaking of television tonight, of course, Thursday Night Football, the Seattle Seahawks will be battling the San Francisco 49ers.
Seriously, if they lose, though. If Seattle loses.
Guys, this is the dynamic matchup between the 2-4 teams that America demanded.
They are two powerhouse franchises. The reason the Seahawks are in the news also is because Marshawn Lynch has launched his own new drink at Starbucks.
Okay.
It's called the Beast Mode Frap. It is a double mocha base, Kevin. So far, so good for you.
Sure.
Protein powder, naturally, because you need to bulk up to be a beast. A hint of cream and mint. Purple berry drizzle.
Oh.
Whipped cream.
Sounds great.
And a dash, of matcha. What's matcha, by the way?
I've seen that word before.
I've heard it.
Green tea.
Green tea. There we go.
That sounds horrible.
Beast mode frap.
That sounds like take one from every column of everything that is sold in Starbucks and put it in one drink.
It sounds sounds delicious. People,
hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
People have tried it, said they enjoy it. However, they can only finish the first three quarters of it.
Last, you have trouble putting it away?
Last quarter, they just can't polish it off. They just can't. They simply can't finish. I don't know why that is.
They give up.
You get through that whole drink, and then
that is strange.
The last quarter of the drink, you
and they're so close to finishing it.
Can't swallow it for some reason. It's just, it's frustrating to those who have tried it.
Shout out to my real Africans out there.
Right. And, boy. I gotta break open the piggy bank. I gotta get some disposable income.
For what?
There's gonna be an auction. You know how I love the collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an auction of all of Sylvester Stallone's personal props and costumes from his storied career.
Okay.
Including the original black leather jacket he wore in Rocky and Rocky II.
How's Taco Bell gonna make money off of that?
The man, the character that inspired me to first don the black leather blazer, now is selling the actual leather blazer that started the legend that became my own black leather jacket.
Is it a legend?
It is a legend.
You might need to buy that, is what you're saying?
I think I have to, right?
Would you wear it every day instead of your black leather jacket, or would you hang it up in a... No, in a hermetically sealed glass box.
I would build an addition onto my home
to display it.
Four blank walls and a single spotlight and just have it suspended via monofilament wiring in the center of the room.
And I'd say, don't go in there. You don't get to see it. No. And I would just go in sometimes and just be with it.
What else did Sly keep from his storied career?
Everything. Heritage Auctions is the name of the auction house. If you go to their website, you'll see all his memorabilia. The title belt he wins in Rocky II for his rematch against Apollo Creed. That original gold boxing glove necklace that Mickey gave him in the films. All of his stuff from Rambo as well. More than 1,400 props.
Wow.
Costumes and personal items. Nice. Knives, machetes, the U.S. Army flag patch jacket he wore in 1982's First Blood. His brocade robe from Oscar.
Nope.
The classic film Oscar.
You don't need that for its own room?
I don't really need that for its own room, no.
Anything from the arm wrestling movie?
Yes. He's got stuff from Rhinestone.
What
he's
was
got
the arm wrestling?
Over the top.
Over
he's
the
got,
top.
He's got the baseball cap that he would turn around in order to arm wrestle with and over the top.
Where he was arm wrestling for custody of his child?
Yes.
Like you do,
like
Kevin.
You do. You know it is. In family court, sometimes they have different things going on. I mean, if you name a Sly movie, he's got
Stop
something.
Or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yes, he's got the actual mom from Stop or My Mom Will
like
Shoot.
Sound like a person?
Estelle Getty's corpse is available.
It's a good band. It's true.
Yeah. So go to heritageauctions.com. Apparently December 18th and 19th is when the auction will be held. But all of his Rocky robes and the boxing shorts that he wore in the ring, I mean, all
nice.
Of that stuff is going to get out.
What's your guess on what the...
Nothing is over!
Nothing's over.
Nothing!
Nothing.
You just don't turn it off.
That's right.
What's your guess as to what the iconic leather jacket will go for?
Jeez, I don't know. See, I don't know if there's a market for leather jacket other than leather jacket aficionados like myself.
How many of those are there?
Most people would want Rocky's pork pie hat, I think. That's probably a more distinctive costume
right.
piece for them.
Okay.
But
right.
I would, boy, that leather jacket.
But you might be the only one bidding on it.
Right, so maybe I
yeah,
go for
you might
steel.
Get it cheap. That'd be pretty cool.
I'd be willing to spend up to and including... $100,000 for that jacket. That's my opening bid.
That's your opening bid.
We'll see where it goes from there. All
Good
right,
luck
I'm
with that.
Running very, very late. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays that are a list of people who were born on this date. Here it is. Jesse Tyler Ferguson is 40 years old today. He from Modern Family, of course. Great. Plays Mitch on that show. Spike Jones, the director, is 46. Bob Odenkirk celebrates his 53rd birthday. Jeff Goldblum is 63. And actor Christopher Lloyd, Doc Brown himself, celebrates
Whatever
his
77th
birthday.
Whatever happened to that dude, by the way? You never, ever see him on
Just
television anymore. It's like he retired or something because...
Jimmy
He was so
Kimmel
famous for that Back to the Future, but then he just vanished after that. I guess he just doesn't
Brooklyn
want to reprise the role
and
talk about Future or anything anymore.
Late night.
It's on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
A very funny sketch he did along with his buddy... Michael J. Fox. And Biff Henderson. Biff Henderson was in the sketch, too, which is odd casting, but... You know, they say, where's Biff, Doc? And then Biff Henderson's there.
Not Biff Tanner.
What?
It's a different Biff. How many Biffs
How many
do you know?
Where
else could they have gone? There was no us to turn looking for an alternate Biff.
That's how I like an alternate Biff, you know what I'm saying? You know what that means. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Every week about this time, we talk to our good friend, Dr. Drew, the host of Dr. Drew On Call on HLN, Monday through Thursday nights at 6. You can also hear him on weekday afternoons with Mike Cathwood on KABC Radio and, of course, on Loveline 5 nights a week on K-Rock. Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
I'm great. I'm actually in New York City this week. Crazy.
You are everywhere talking to everybody about everything. You just did the Rachel Ray Show. I saw you on with Sway on Sirius Satellite Radio this week. Is there no audience that you can't go in and talk to and feel comfortable with and are not accepted by?
There was three or four questions embedded in that one question,
yeah.
But anyone that will accept me, I'm happy to speak.
All right. Well, listen, we're glad to have you on, as busy as you are, and we want to talk about the Lamar Odom situation. And let's first talk about it from a medical standpoint.
Right.
I was shocked that he was already released from the hospital in Nevada and is back in Los Angeles. I was further shocked that he woke up out of his coma and was able to talk, and now we hear he's even doing some walking. Like, this seems remarkable to me based on the early reports of what kind of shape he was in.
I would agree with you being the first 24 to 36 hours we were hearing some pretty depressing news about his neurological status, but it's clear that that was all rumor, innuendo, and frankly wrong. That's why we do intensive care medicine. We can resuscitate people who are in the throes of death, which he was, and a young, healthy person particularly, bring them all the way back, and bring them all the way back to health. So provided he did not have a stroke or any irreversible brain injury, which, again, we've heard all kinds of rumors, but the evidence suggests he has not had anything like that, the probability is he could have a really full recovery, but we just don't know yet. The one organ system that I keep hearing is in trouble is his kidneys, but even that, the kinds of kidney failure that people get from the sort of phenomenon he was suffering from, that kind of kidney failure often reverses. It may take 6 months. He may need dialysis for a while. It may even take a year. But it's probable that he won't need a kidney, in my guess, based on what we're hearing.
But if he does, Bean will offer one up.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to Bean about today.
Right.
We can make Bean dialysis dependent.
Right.
Or get him a kidney from somebody else and give Bean's kidney to Lamar.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, speaking of this is just speculation now. Let's say for a moment that his kidney damage is irreversible and he does need a kidney transplant. Let's say he's shot out his kidneys and he needs a transplant. What's the current feeling among the medical community about a person like that who medically needs a kidney, but it's through his own fault because of his drug use?
I know this is just a polemical question you're asking. It's not your feeling. I am deeply offended when people say things like that. Mm-hmm. This man has a medical illness. It's called addiction. It's had a complication, and part of that complication was a near-death phenomenon. What, should we not have resuscitated him? Should we not allow him medical care because he has addiction? And to not allow him routine, frankly, medical care, which is dialysis and, if necessary, transplant, that is insane to me. We've gone absolutely out of our minds. The mob has really finally taken over, where someone can't get medical care because they're, what, a public person or an addict? Forget it. He will get it just the way, probably the same circumstance in which, you know, you very, very courageously offered a kidney. Someone in his group, if there's a match, if he needs it, would probably offer something up.
I agree with you completely, but I just wanted to ask you because it certainly has been debated as people have projected
ahead. It's insane to me when people say things like that. Well, he's a man with a medical problem. It will get routine standard. Again, as I've always said, the standard of care is the best. It will get the same standard of care that we all get.
That brings up the next question, which is a lot of people seem to still look at a situation like that and go, he's weak. He's bad. Like, they don't understand the addiction thing today.
I know. It's insane. One of the pleasures I have of dealing with addicts is once their disease is in remission, you see the tremendous resources that each of them have. They are, you know, most of the great world leaders and great artists in history have had addictive disease of one sort or another. They are very rich, interesting, and powerful people. They look weak in terms of their ability to make a sort of autonomous choices or rational choices when they're in the throes of their disease, but that's a brain disorder that makes them like that. The other thing that's making me crazy is how people are sort of taking aim at his relationship with his ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife. I hope he does not reconcile with her, but I also hope he does not go forward with the divorce. Okay, you can do both things. He's going to get into recovery, we hope. Hopefully he'll go away for a long time and focus on that recovery. But in that time, he also should not make any changes in his interpersonal life. The relationship is estranged? Great. It's not yet divorced? Fine. In the meantime, he has somebody there to help him make durable power of attorney decisions for what are going to be very complex, probably, medical decisions going forward.
So he's got enough to worry about that he shouldn't be changing anything else.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
Dr. Drew, you dealt with
reconciling is a mistake if that's indeed accurate.
And that's what TMZ is reporting as of yesterday. You've dealt with thousands of people who are family members and loved ones of the addict.
Yes.
What's going through Chloe's mind right now? She had gotten to a point previously where it seems like the addiction was too much for her to handle and she wanted to be away from it and she wanted to divorce Lamar Odom. Why is she back together with him now?
Well, I don't know that she's back together. I know that everyone who's in Lamar's life loves the guy. Everyone I've ever spoken to that met him thinks he's a great guy. She is no exception. He's in a crisis. She doesn't dislike him or hate him. She's there to support him, even though she probably, hopefully, is not going to be his wife again, per se. Now, one day they will go through with the divorce. But her being there is really somebody who cares about this man, not necessarily her husband. If there is some reconciling, I'm who knows.
Why are you against that?
Well, I'm against it in the short term.
Okay.
If they want to reconcile a year from now, fine, great. And they may decide to do that. That's fine.
Right.
But in the short term, don't make any changes. Just put this guy somewhere where he can focus on his recovery and leave it at that.
We're talking to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky here on the Kevin DeBean Show about Lamar Odom and his recovery. I have two medical questions that I'm going to ask for some speculation, doctor, because I know you only have access to whatever has been released to the media. And that is, part one is, why was Lamar Odom in a coma? And part two is, what can you tell us about this reported herbal Viagra that he took that night?
Let me take those in reverse order. Everybody, stop talking about the herbal Viagra. Stop it already. That has essentially nothing to do with this entire episode. I challenge any of you, go into a gas station, a convenience store right now, and look at all the herbal Viagra next to the cash register. It's everywhere. And the guys that buy that crap, believe me, don't just take one pill. They take handfuls of it just like Lamar did.
And that's not dangerous by itself.
And then, go to any emergency room in the country and see if you can find anybody who's had any complication or ever seen anybody with a complication from this garbage, and the answer is no. On the other hand, look around you in an emergency room and you will see rooms filled right now with people with complications of addiction. So, just playing the odds, I wonder which was the cause of his problem. That's number one. Number two, the issue of what'd you ask again? Being the
why was he in a coma? What put him into a coma?
Coma. Yeah, he had some sort of hypoxic brain injury, right? He was barely breathing. He also was deeply intoxicated. Probably that's what prevented him from breathing. He probably had some degree of aspiration, which is a pneumonia when fluids in your mouth get into your lungs, and then you get septic, you go into shock. All that decreases oxygen and blood supply to the brain. And if it's not like Bobby Christina, where it was sustained, complete oxygen deprivation. If that goes more than 10 minutes, you're a goner. In a young, healthy guy like him with deprivation but not complete shutoff, they can recover fully, but they will go into a coma for a little while. And sometimes the doctors will actually put them into a medical coma for a couple of days, which I had heard rumor that he was in. But then when they lighten them up, they reduce that the medication that induces that coma, they start to wake up and move around, which is exactly what we heard here. Again, as contrasted with Bobby Christina, who seized when they lightened her up, which was a terrible sign.
Gotcha. All right, last question, Doc, and that is, can the Lakers count on Lamar Odom being ready to play by Christmas Day at least?
Can you count on him or the Lakers count on him? No, that's not going to happen. But
not going to happen.
People
not
keep
this
asking,
year.
Is he going to play basketball again? I don't know how to answer that. I talked to Rachel Nichols, you know, the CNN reporter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she thought there might even be a possibility somewhere. I was surprised at that.
Wow. Well, that would be fantastic if he's ever healthy enough to do that. All right.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew, HLN, Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Look for Dr. Drew in the afternoons on KBC with Mike Catherwood and, of course, Loveline here on KROQ. And a fine family of podcasts available at drdrew.com or podcastone.com. Enjoy New York. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
You will. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's right. It is time for the original Rodney on the Rock show. Wow. What a lot of parties I went to this week. Went to the Tower Records premiere. Everything must pass.
All things must
pass. And they had a big party at Tower Records, where Tower Records used to be, and they had it all fixed up like the way it used to be, mm-hmm. all painted and everything. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. And you got to see that movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a whole documentary about Tower Records. It was kind of sad to see, you know, Tower Records go. Elton John's in it, and he almost cried when he was talking about it. Yeah, All Things Must Pass, it's called. Tower Records.
You said everything must pass.
Documentary. And when I was at the premiere to the All Things Must Pass movie, which was directed by Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son.
That's right.
And Rita Wilson's son as well.
Nope,
Tom Hanks'
wife. Not the case. Tom Hanks' first
wife. She was at the premiere and we were talking. And it turns out she used to be a regular at my English disco. Rodney's English Disco.
Oh, no.
Tom Hanks' wife was a regular there.
Is there a lawsuit?
Rita Wilson. Also, she was the cover girl for Star Magazine, and she was featured in a lot of the pictures in Star Magazine. Star Magazine was like a groupie, dress-up girl kind of magazine.
All
the latest fashions.
No wonder you liked it.
Glitter and glam.
Okay.
Look that up, Star Magazine.
We got it. We got to go.
Yeah,
right.
You must go check out that movie,
All
Things
it.
Must Pass.
Right.
That's directed by Tom Hanks.
Colin Hanks.
It's all about Tower Record Store around
Tower
the world.
You mentioned that 100 times.
It's, you know, when it first started in Sacramento.
We don't need
it,
the whole history of Tower.
We'll watch the movie.
No, I'd like to hear it.
San Francisco, and then eventually came to Hollywood.
Let's name all the locations.
And then in Japan.
They were in Japan.
Washington, D.C.
Quite an amazing movie. Very emotional. You got to see it, how all that happened.
Okay. Thank you, Rodney.
And that's playing
in the theater. Go ahead.
It's also
theater.
Video on
demand. Like theater.
It's also video.
Near Sunset and Vine.
Right, okay.
And here are the Monkees.
Oh, come on, again? Much, can you play anyone else?
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday, Kevin DeBede Show. What's going on?
He's the best. That's real. We didn't edit that in any way.
There are people who want to be in radio.
That exists.
Who, what just say you, that. Who are pursuing a career to be yes. on the air.
Yes.
And then they tune in to 106.7 on their FM dial.
They're
on a
always
Sunday
disappointed.
Night,
first
on a Sunday
of all.
Night.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not as disappointed as they are Monday through Friday
right, sure.
in the morning. But on a Sunday night, you might tune in driving home from a get-together of some sort.
Sure.
Where you're with your friends. And you're in the car and you say, I would like to be in radio. And then you hear that guy who's been on the radio for 78 years.
It's true.
And you say, this is not a profession. It's not
no
a legitimate
do
profession.
This.
No
I hope he never changes.
Agreed.
I hope he continues
what
to do what he's doing.
What do you think the odds are of him changing?
Rodney well, needs to keep doing
given
what he's
the
doing.
Fact
keep
he's
doing
been what he's the doing. Exact same for 50 years. What fear is it in you that, oh, I hope tomorrow suddenly he doesn't start knowing facts and speaking eloquently in a rapid, energetic fashion?
Bitch, honking the hits.
All right. I don't think you have much to fear, Bean, is what I'm saying.
Okay, good. Because he's perfect just the way he is.
Agreed.
You're damn right he is.
The national treasure.
As is Taylor Swift.
Nope.
That's for sure.
Tadoff Swindler in the news. Awkward account of her run-in with The Weeknd.
Uh-oh.
Or The Weeknd, as I like to
call
him. I
thought she was buds with The Weeknd. I think he's one of her 1989 tour guests recently.
She is a big fan of The Weeknd.
It's actually just said Weeknd.
And that's The Weeknd.
Why don't you read it, and all then right. you tell me how it's pronounced.
Weeknd.
Like the freaking Churches.
Right, that's also just Churches.
No, it isn't.
Well, it
read
is.
The letters right. and then pronounce them.
By the way, in an awkward moment on Twitter, someone sent a funny tweet out saying, thanks a lot, Ralph. Now every time I see the Traverches, I pronounce them Traverches. And they put at Traverches in the tweet. And now through a series of random circumstances that I couldn't control, the Traverches is following me on Twitter.
Oh.
Now what do
now
I do?
Now you're in trouble.
Now
wow.
I'm in trouble. Now they're keeping an eye on me.
It's on.
Because there's a lawsuit, I'm sure, in the works. That's all I got to say.
Wow.
Anyway, The Weeknd says in Rolling Stone that he ran into her at Sam Smith's Grammy party this past February.
Okay.
And she started coming up to him saying how much she loves his music, and he thinks she had been overserved.
Okay.
Because suddenly she started stroking and petting his hair.
Really?
Yes.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would enjoy that.
Well, he explains. I think she was just drawn to it. She must have been a little gone off a few drinks. And, of course, I'm not going to be like, hey, can you stop? I mean, it felt good, but when she started petting my hair, that's when I was like, I definitely need a drink. So she drove The Weeknd to the bar because she wouldn't stop petting his head like he was a Cocker Spaniel. Now, look. Her history of racism is well documented. But I think even for Taylor Swift, that is a wildly inappropriate act of...
But you know how exotic black people in their hair are. Sometimes white people are just amazed by them. Right? That's what's going on here.
All I'm saying is she's a farter and a racist. Like I've always
heard
said
that.
About Taylor Swift.
Both true.
Both true. I know I'm going to vote for now.
You know, for president?
I like to wait until, all the important questions
until
have been
until it's
asked.
Over a full year out.
Wait, that's what I love about Joe Biden. He said when he wasn't going to run, I don't have time to put together a campaign at this point. There's only over a year to campaign, and how can I possibly get my message out in the span of a year?
Well, he's not a well-known person either.
No, he's got to introduce himself to the electorate. I mean, how could anyone run for an office in just a year's time?
We can have another year of this, is what we're saying.
Anyway,
I think
don't
Ralph's
need
point
the
is that he's the vice
it.
President, for God's sake.
Right.
It seems like he could announce 4 days out and people would know whether they liked him or not.
Right.
I don't need the year because I know who I'm voting for now. Because okay. The important questions have all been answered, including, who's your favorite superhero? Which is someone asked of Jeb Bush, Republican candidate, in a Q&A in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Here was Governor Bush's reaction.
I saw that there's a Supergirl is on TV. I saw it on the when I was working out this morning. There's an ad promoting Supergirl. She looked pretty hot.
There you go. That's all you need to know. I believe there's a Supergirl. She looks attractive. I'd like to bone her.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah. So I would pick her to be my favorite superhero because of the whole boner factor. Next question.
Ralph, I think back to the famous President Clinton on MTV interview where he was asked boxers or briefs, and I really do feel that that was the moment where running for president kind of turned into you're now a celebrity, not a statesman.
Yes.
And I feel like that's why now everybody's comfortable with asking freaking Jeb Bush what superhero he likes, which is a question that should never be asked of a person running for president.
That's a question you ask a Playboy centerfold. That's something you put in the Playboy centerfold information page.
Yes.
You don't ask that of the person who's going to run the country. It's not really relevant.
The problem, though, is that they will all answer whatever questions they want to answer when you ask them a question, unless it's something that's out of left field like
but
this.
But it's a waste
you
of everybody's
get a prepared
time.
I want to know what he's like.
He didn't prepare
unprepared.
That statement.
Right, I know.
I'm very aware of that. That was off the cuff.
Right.
It's just a colossal.
Somebody super. There's a super woman, girl.
Looked like a girl.
I saw an ad. And,
she was hot.
It moved. So that was his answer for his favorite superhero.
Is anyone going to vote for Jeb Bush because of that answer
yes,
or answers
I'm
like
telling
it?
You me.
Ralph is going to, yes.
By the way,
he's your man now.
Are we getting Melissa Benoist on the show?
I hope so. Otherwise, we're getting a new producer on the show. I'll tell you that.
Goddamn right. First of all, I can't wait for Supergirl, which debuts next week.
Second of all, mm-hmm. She's hot.
26. Second of all, according to Jeb Bush, she's attractive.
Right.
Right.
And third of all, she's Supergirl.
Right.
Not my fault.
I believe we've had all the major superheroes on. I think we've had Stephen Amell. Haven't we had the Arrow on? He's been on.
We have, yes.
Yes, we have.
Grant
yes,
Gustin,
have.
I know we've had
yes,
on The Flash.
We've had him on.
We've had Tom Welling on back in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a pretty good track record with the TV superheroes. I would like to continue that track record and have Melissa on.
Here's an update from The King. He says that she is going to be in New York for the premiere, but he is trying to get her when she is in Los Angeles on our show, possibly for the 2nd of November, which he'll be here in just, you know, a week and a half. So.
All right.
All right.
So it looks like he is working on it. He is aware of our desire to speak with her.
And I, in response, would like to ask Melissa Benoist which of the Republican Democratic candidates she thinks is hot.
It's a good idea.
I'd like to find out.
I like it.
See if it's a love fest.
Yeah.
I mean, if they both swipe right, I think we got a love connection here.
Or if she goes with Mario the Rubio guy.
Right.
Then there's going to be a love triangle. I don't know what's going to happen.
Dave says Melissa used to be on Glee. Did you know that,
she
Ralph?
She did used to be in Glee. You're absolutely right. Best known up to this point on his reporting role in Glee. She was part of the Glee, the Next Generation cast or whatever. She sort of came in late to the series. But.
All right.
Spent a lot of time talking about Jeb Bush and
sure
Supergirl I have.
Not my fault.
No, it isn't. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, 22nd of October. Unbeatable.
You know who you're testing, though, is Chip, and she is unbeatable.
I don't think we've mentioned Rocktober at all today. Yep. I figured, well, that clip is buried deep somewhere that no one can get to quickly. I ask for clips to be played during the showbiz beat.
Yeah, well, we do that on purpose.
That aren't prepared, that aren't ready.
Right.
That can't be found.
Right.
Rocktober, always there.
Right there.
It's crazy. You know, it's not there. Halloween Spook.
That's true. Never.
Never hear that.
Thank God.
Don't hear that song.
What a disaster that is.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lloyd is 77. Doc Brown himself. Jeff Goldblum, 63. Bob Odenkirk is 53. Director Spike Jonze celebrates his 46th birthday. And Jesse Tyler Ferguson turns 40 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat because it is Friday. We've got a brand-new internet roundup. We're going to talk video games with Adam Sessler. We've got R.J. Bell from Las Vegas.
Because he's R.J. Bell! R.J. Bell!
And, of course, Neil deGrasse Tyson, as we do on Fridays.
It's Physics Friday.
That's right. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.